Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Thursday, January 14th, 2015, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, live coverage and analysis of the first GOP debate of 2016. While the contenders are set, Rand Paul supporters protest the senator's exclusion from the main event. Stay tuned as we crash through lies and disinformation in real time. That's next.
Once you censor the internet, you have established the principle you will censor everything.
Exactly.
When a politician tells you that he's going to take away your freedom of speech, believe him. He's going to take it away.
Right.
It's not a fantasy. Don't pretend. They lie to you all the time. Don't lie to yourself about what a politician is going to do. If he tells you he's a thief, if he tells you he's going to steal your rights, he's going to steal your damn rights. No question about it. He'll keep that promise. Yep. Americans have adopted the mindset of slaves.
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new, groundbreaking, gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Masses of fighters on the back of pickup trucks, twisted souls plotting in apartments or garages, they pose an enormous danger to civilians. They have to be stopped. But they do not threaten our national existence. And we sure don't need to push away vital allies in this fight by echoing the lie that ISIL is somehow representative of one of the world's largest religions.
So that was President Obama giving himself a pat on the back, letting everyone know ISIS isn't a problem. They've got everything under control. He also went on to say that we should call them what they really are. And no, he never uttered the words radical Islamic terrorists. He basically called them a bunch of hooligans that just needed to be stopped. Well, if you think that ISIS is not an issue, not a threat to our national security, why don't you ask Indonesia? Look what they had to deal with today. ISIS backers have now claimed responsibility for the Paris-style terror attack that took place in Jakarta today. Attackers set off a series of explosions in a bustling shopping area of the capital city there. And Thursday, this is what authorities are saying was an imitation of last November's terror attacks in Paris. And of course, ISIS backers immediately claimed responsibility. A Canadian and an Indonesian were killed, as well as all five of the attackers involved, and another 19 people were injured. So obviously, just a really devastating scene there in Indonesia today with people sprawled all over the sidewalks. And so these type of attacks are going to be taking place more often. But Obama, he doesn't want you to worry about that. He doesn't want anyone to worry because the borders are wide open, and we are definitely not going to be putting a pause on the refugee program, bringing these people in. So let's just take a little stroll down memory lane. This is the last year, okay? So we've got, obviously, the Paris terror attacks that just took place a couple of months ago, and there was, what, about 11 attackers involved in this? That left 130 dead, 350 injured in a series of attacks there. And 51 of those victims are still receiving treatment in the hospital. That's how bad their injuries are. So they're still receiving treatment. Then, of course, once again in France, we have a 15-year-old who took a machete to one of his teachers. And now he is facing charges. And he said he's proud of his machete attack on his Jewish teacher. He said he didn't regret it. In fact, he was only just ashamed that he didn't manage to kill the teacher. So there you go. That guy seems, and he seems like, you know, a well-adjusted young man there. Now there's also a confidential Interior Ministry report basically saying that Germany is a prime target for a Paris-style terrorist attack. And this is a leaked government report. They say homegrown lone wolves and Islamic State fighters returning from Syria are likely preparing elaborate attacks on civilian targets inside the country. Security forces believe the terrorists will use multiple time-staggered attacks on varied targets in order to create a sense of overwhelming panic and lasting fear. So you can see the Paris terror attacks are the blueprint for the sort of things that we are going to start seeing popping up, because of course these are things that are hard to track, they're hard to predict. And Obama says, you know, we're just going to shut them down, take them down, those little hooligans. So then we also, in Paris, don't forget that there was another attack that was actually thwarted by three Americans who happened to be on the train when an Islamist militant launched an attack on that train. He had guns and knives, and, you know, they were able to take him down, obviously suffering injuries themselves. Another man was shot. Let's not forget about the fact that two Islamic terrorists tried to launch attacks here in Dallas as well, but they were taken down by Texas police who shot them dead. So, you know, that was thwarted, but of course that was an attack that we shouldn't have had to really worry about. But of course, you know, those people shouldn't have been provoking that terror attack by exercising their First Amendment right. You know, that was what we heard after that. Basically, apologists coming out and saying, well, you know, they had it coming. And let's ask that cop in Philly who was shot by a man who came out and said, you know what, I pledged allegiance to ISIS, and that's why I came and shot the cop there in Philly. And now we have also got reports of two Iraqi refugees. Both of them were from originally from Palestine, then Iraq, and now they're refugees here to the United States. One of those they're calling the hipster terrorist because he was super cool, posing for social media in his perfectly coiffed hair and his designer sunglasses in California. So they say he was just here trying to start a new life in America. And another, he was a young man really anxious to return to the Middle East to fight in the Syrian civil war. And then we have another guy, Omar Faraj Saeed Al-Hardan. He was here in Houston, and he's been indicted for providing material support to ISIS. And federal agents say that this Iraqi refugee wanted to bomb Texas malls. So he's actually now facing charges that he tried to help the Islamic State. He wanted to set off bombs at two Houston malls. He was learning how to make electronic transmitters that could be used to detonate explosive devices. Oh, just a lovely little guy. And of course, his family has now come out today saying he hasn't done anything of the sort. We knew nothing about it. His 18-year-old wife says, no, it couldn't be him, you know. And let's take a look at these cell phones, of course, because a lot of people were sending us stories saying, why are there all of these mysterious cell phone purchases here in Missouri? There were five total confirmed incidents of suspicious phone buys in Missouri at Walmarts all over the state. Most of the time it was happening from the same person, and they never actually gave out the identity of that man. So 60 cell phone purchases at one Walmart, 100 at prepaid cell phones at another. So yeah, of course, people say, oh, well, he could have just been taking these to sell off prepaid phones to people who can't afford them. Or he could also be using them as electronic transmitters that could set off explosive devices, much like the San Bernardino attackers as well. That's the exact same thing they had, explosive devices that were going to be detonated via their cell phone. Those things failed. But, you know, that's suspicious, okay? And, you know, don't worry about it. It's not a problem. You just don't be worried. Obama said everything is completely fine. Now we have another Maryland man. He's actually being indicted today. He's accused of receiving $9,000 from ISIS to carry out an attack on American soil. So this man told the FBI that the militants said that the money was to be used for operational purposes, and they cited the May attack on the Draw Prophet Muhammad cartoon contest in Garland, Texas, as the kind of target that he should contemplate. You should contemplate, you know, attacking these targets with this money. And the FBI said that earlier this year he had pledged allegiance to the Islamic State, and he wanted to die as a martyr. Now, he was using multiple email accounts, pay-as-you-go phones, once again, suspicious phone purchases to communicate with Islamic State operatives. And he was also using social media, which, of course, this is one of the major ways that they are communicating with these prepaid phones, social media on Twitter. So the point is, the threat is here. It is real. Meanwhile, the borders are wide open, and you are a racist if you dare suggest that we should put a pause on the refugee program until we have a better vetting process, until we can legitimately vet people. And, you know, it seems like we've already got a big issue with that based on this stack of news. So now getting back to social media, a Florida woman is suing Twitter for giving ISIS a platform. Her husband was killed in a lone wolf terrorist attack in Jordan. He was actually training some men there, probably moderate rebels. He was training them how to be policemen, and he was killed. Well, now this woman has filed a lawsuit against Twitter. She is accusing the company of supporting the spread of ISIS by enabling ISIS leaders to recruit and fundraise on its platform. And, you know, going back to that 15-year-old who tried to hack his teacher with a machete, that's how he was radicalized, by going online and all of these social platforms. So, you know, this is the issue. But people don't even have to get on their social media. They can just come right across the wide open border, much like a lot of these Syrians and other than Mexicans, as they're calling them, that are coming across the border with their fake passports. And it's a huge deal. But you know what? Don't be racist. Don't even worry about it. Obama gave a wink and a nod and said it was all okay. Now, another person that is being threatened by ISIS via social media is UFC fighter Tim Kennedy. And he actually has kind of laughed all this stuff off in the past, but he has now been visited by the FBI with a credible threat. So basically, obviously, ISIS tends to target high-profile military personnel, and Kennedy served in the 7th Special Forces Group and is a sergeant first class with the Texas National Guard. So this is why they are coming after him, because he is high-profile. Well, Tim Kennedy was on the Alex Jones Show today, and he had a message for ISIS.
I said years ago, this ISIS spinoff of Al-Qaeda is big. A lot bigger than Al-Qaeda was, because I'm on the ground. I get the threats. I see them at Ferguson and at New York, and I see the signs. I see the stickers. It's trendy with the left, and it's in Texas. We go out to these Islamic training centers and get death threats. We get hacked. They put Joe Biggs, former Staff Sergeant U.S. Army, decorated combat vet. They put him in ISIS videos when he went down to the border to show him on the Texas border. So this is what they do. But Tim Kennedy, just like bin Laden's a high-value target or was, he's a high-value target. Now, Tim, I just set the stage. Is that accurate, what I said? Correct me if I'm wrong. You're the expert. And please break down in as much detail as you can about the personal Federal Bureau of Investigation visit and warning you got. And it's great to have you here in the InfoWar.
I've been a fan for a long time, so just appreciate you having me. From what they said, the FBI, the credible threat came from every day I get 5 to 10 people saying, "Hey, I hate you. You're going to die. I want to kill you. Everything that you stand for, I hate." What makes this significant is, this one was geotagged, and they had content that they couldn't have gotten from anywhere else besides first person. So they had pictures of a guy's head that they had cut off, and they said, "This is going to be you." The geotagged picture was, you know, close enough that the FBI says, "Hey, this is significant, and that's why we're talking to you right now." The problem was that I've been doing this for 13 years, you know. I don't know if I'm desensitized to it, or I just don't care, and I have zero respect for the cowards that they are. And the FBI is like, "You're not normal. You should be a little bit freaked out by this." I was like, "I don't know. Let them come. I don't, you know, like, I've been traveling all over the world to find these guys. And now they're going to come to Texas. Last time they gave it a whirl was in Garland, and that didn't go so well for them. So, you know, like, come to Central Texas and see how this is going to work." You know, the only thing they got going for them is they're brutal. They're evil, and they have no respect for human life. They're uneducated. They're weak. They're stupid. But they have no respect for anything, and they'll take advantage of the weakest sheep that they can get their hands on. And that's just not going to be me.
Well, it certainly shows that they are upset about your success, the fact you survived all those operations and clandestine fights you were in. And it's too bad you can't write a book about that. It's pretty interesting stuff, just from folks I've talked to in the military. But obviously you can't get into that here today. But there's a reason they don't like you.
Yeah. You know, was in some of the most elite units that special operations have. I was in the missions to go get the guys that they have worshipped, you know, their entire lives. You know, like, as I love Chris Kyle and Marcus Luttrell, you know, like, those are heroes, the Shugarts, the Gordons, you know, that wing, the ISIS, the Al-Qaeda, they have their own guys that they do that. Well, I'm the guy that went and found those dudes. And, they hate that about me. And now, the success that I'm having, not only as a shooter, but now as, you know, as a UFC athlete, you know, I'm a contender for the title, one of the top fighters in the world. And I still stand true to the values.
So you're winning shooting champions. You're winning UFC, big bouts. You've got a hit show on, Discovery Channel, or is it History with a
History Channel?
That's right. Hunting Hitler. I've seen it quite a few times. It's great. I mean, they certainly must not like that.
No, they hate me. They hate everything about me. They hate everything about you. They hate everything we stand for. You know, and they're going to do anything that they can to find the weakest, softest target around us.
I know you're still involved with the military and active duty and things. You can't get into all that, but we've had seen top generals, like the former head of defense intelligence, come out and say, we were ordered to basically aid al-Nusra, which is al-Qaeda in Syria. It's a horrible thing. We followed orders. Now it's out of control. We see other generals coming out, the head of Southcom coming out and saying, I don't want to follow the orders. I've got to. Women in frontline combat will ruin the military. That's unprecedented to have generals speaking out. Yeah. That shows you how bad Obama is.
I've never imagined that it would have this climate in the military. You know, like, we toe the line. You know, you tell us what to do, especially in special operations. We're fire and forget. You say, go do this. We're going to go do it better than you would have, you know, imagined it to be possible. And we're going to stay quiet about it. You know, like, our motto is the quiet professionals. This is not the culture of special operations to go in front and say, no, this was not right. We shouldn't have done this. No, that's stupid. You're going to get soldiers killed. No, we shouldn't have women here. Like, that is not the culture of special operations. But the fact that we are coming out and saying that really demonstrates that there's a gigantic problem.
Well, stick around. Joe Biggs is filing a report from South Carolina ahead of the Republican debate. And then I'll be joined here live with David Knight and Jakari Jackson, bringing you our live debate coverage and analysis.
And all you ISIS people threatening us, hey, we're not a French newspaper, okay? We got people that have taken your asses out in this building right now. We're armed to the teeth, and we're not scared. You got that, you sons of bitches? This is Texas. You want to threaten me, you can go straight to hell. You understand that?
Never water yourself down just because someone can't handle you at 100 proof. It's the Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Another GOP debate is upon us.
When you had the World Trade Center go, people were put into planes that were friends, family, and they were sent back. They knew what was going on. They went home and they wanted to watch their boyfriends on television.
Who else would come back like that at the Bushes and the Clintons calling them criminals?
And this the Saudis.
You guys go back to your live feeds.
You see, we don't have rights in America. Only the people who are outside of this country have a right. The only right that anybody has is to come live in America, presumably to live off of us if that's what they choose. They can come live off of us. They can come create war in our country. That's their right. But people in America don't have rights.
The first and most important priority of the President of the United States is to protect the safety and security of America.
No, it isn't. You're disqualified. You have an oath to the Constitution, and the oath to the Constitution says, and the Declaration of Independence says, you are created to protect our freedoms.
Right.
Not to keep us safe. They didn't want safety. They wouldn't have rebelled against the strongest government in the world if their first priority was safety. Their first priority was liberty. They created a government to protect that. I'm sick of these people.
If we want to defend the country, we have to defend against who's are coming in. And Marco has more of an allegiance to Chuck Schumer and to the liberals than he does to conservative policy.
Do you really think that Republicans have fueled the rise of ISIS?
Yeah. Where's she been?
Who is she? The allies of ISIS, the Islamic rebels against Assad, that we created a safe space or made that space bigger for ISIS to grow.
We know what's going on. We know these guys are running ISIS. And when they talk about shutting down freedom of speech, he just repeated the exact same stuff he said in his speech, even talking about how you don't refer to these people as masterminds. He knows precisely what he's saying. These are a bunch of Morlocks, and the American people are a bunch of Eloi. When they talk about serving America,
You're on the menu.
Join InfoWars January 14th starting at 7 p.m. Central for another episode of Political Science Theater 3K.
Joe Biggs here with InfoWars.com. Now I'm here with Bob Kuntz. And tell us what you used to do, sir.
Well, I started HillaryNow.com in 2003. I did 145 cities drafting Hillary and 1,000 news interviews and put up with more abuse than any human being should have to go through, not even a thank you from Hillary. And since then, I not only realized she was there not for the grassroots, but there for the money gang, that her politics, especially that she got in bed with Obama as Secretary of State, has been a total and complete disaster, not just a political one, but 500,000 people already dead. In 2011, she said Assad from Syria was a reformer. So 300,000 killed there, 9 million refugees, Europe going crazy, we're going crazy. We have a crisis on our hands with ISIS that's out of control and doing a genocide. And Obama and Hillary and Kerry are part of this whole thing. So Benghazi is small potatoes compared to the bigger picture nobody wants to address. And I'm here to expose it.
So you used to support Hillary Clinton. Now you're here protesting against her.
Yes, and I'm a registered Democrat. There's nobody in the Democratic Party I'm going to support. I'm actually looking at Trump at this point. Simply because he's the only one that's opening up his mouth to attack both parties. Both of them need a major colonic. Both of them have put America in such jeopardy and danger. And God forbid we have another 9/11 and worse, the whole place is going to blow up. And the reality is that we're facing that because nobody wants to deal with it. Hear that low-life jihadist that, for his last speech in front of Congress for the State of the Disunion tells us ISIS is no big deal. You know, the same thing he said the day we had the Paris massacre. Well, yeah, they're contained. You know, this man is working on their behalf. He's not on our side. The same thing with Hillary and the same thing with Kerry. But the Republicans are no different. They allowed Iran to get its nukes deal when they could have stopped it. So what are we facing? I don't get it anymore. I really don't. We're in crisis danger. You just saw what happened with Iran snubbing their nose with us with the 10 sailors they caught because we look weak, we are weak, and every other two-bit crazy around the planet is going to come after us to do the same number. So we've put ourselves in great jeopardy for what? What are we protecting? Both political systems that are so corrupt, so money-grubbing, so full of it from A to Z. The only one that's even talking our language and making any sense is Trump. And not that he couldn't go a lot further. He needs to. But the bottom line is at least we have somebody there that's attacking the problem. Hillary and Bush are the people who've created this mess. They're not the answers.
So what do you think about the fact that Hillary Clinton calls herself a feminist, that she has females' best interests at heart, that she is pro-woman?
She is so full of it, I can't even begin to start, okay? I'm a feminist. I believe in equal rights, okay? I led the opposition to Anita Bryant and Jerry Falwell. I have a long history and 40,000 media behind me. Hillary is not a feminist. She's a sellout. She's a traitor. How about all the women that are treated like scum in the Arab countries that she's collecting money from?
Saudi
Foundation. Well, just to begin with, they're all part of the same crap. Mm-hmm. Okay? Women are treated like garbage all over the place in the Muslim community. Where is she? No, she's there defending Islam, defending anything that the Islamic Nazis do. And what's the point? She's not a feminist. She's a fraud.
And she's also covenant for her husband's actions.
He is even worse. Let me tell you something. You know, I don't want to hear about his sex life anymore. I'm over discussing his penis every 4 years. I want to tell you something. When Bill Clinton was going through this and Republicans are worried about the stain on the dress with Monica, 1 million people were murdered in a genocide in Rwanda. Nobody's talking about that. This is how Black Lives Matter. They're so full of it and so two-faced. So what does Bill do? He opens up a headquarters in Harlem so he can get away with it? Mm-hmm. These people are just so full of crap from A to Z. There have been 700,000 murders in this country since Mr. Farrakhan did his Million Man March. Hundreds of thousands of dead murdered in the black community. How about that, Black Lives Matter, or that doesn't matter? They're so full of it from A to Z, and I am up to here with all this political crap from both parties. It's outrageous that we're facing this insanity and danger because nobody will come to the front and speak the truth about what's happening, and Trump is the only one that's even close.
Well, what would Hillary Clinton say if Hillary Clinton was an honest, real American, though?
Yeah, give me the money. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. Give me the money. the White House belongs to me. Or maybe we should give the green room to Bill. Let's have a whole other section.
Let's hear what Hillary has to say.
Oh, well, Hillary. I don't know if you can hear me in this, can you?
Yeah. Well, so, hold on. Well, now I'm interviewing Hillary Clinton. This is breaking news from the Republican debate that's going to be happening today here at the North Charleston Coliseum. Hillary, what do you have to say?
I'm a lawyer. I'm a cheat. The White House belongs to me. Let's give the green room to Bill so he can play a lot more. I'm a fraud, but it doesn't matter because my vagina belongs into the White House.
Well, there you have it. Finally, Hillary Clinton has come out and decided to be honest to the American people. I'm Joe Biggs with InfoWars.com.
As we say in Florida.
David Knight for InfoWars.com. And, of course, we're going to have live coverage of the GOP debate tonight. In my opinion, this is going to be a gloves-off approach. I think the GOP establishment is going to come after Trump using his charges against Ted Cruz, saying that Ted Cruz isn't qualified to be president because he's not a natural-born citizen. And we had some interesting developments in this week. We had an article that was out by Lawrence Tribe. Lawrence Tribe was Ted Cruz's professor at Harvard. And he points out that Ted Cruz's interpretation of a natural-born citizen conflicts with original intent. Original intent, meaning you go back, you look at the actual law, you look at the debates, you look at the commentaries that were happening at that time. He says that the kind of judge that Ted Cruz says he's going to appoint would say that Ted Cruz is not a natural-born citizen. Now, Lawrence Tribe says he believes in a living constitution, meaning that we just interpret it however we wish. We don't really, aren't really concerned with the original intent, the original language. For example, in the Second Amendment, the militia, we understand what the militia was. It was all able-bodied men from 16 to 60 at the time. And he points out that, you know, in Lawrence Tribe's view of the world, that's the National Guard today. That's not the original intent. And so he says under that circumstances Ted Cruz would not be qualified. Of course, there's been some other liberal legal scholars who have joined this debate this week. Interestingly enough, what they do is they carve out a position that would allow Barack Obama to be considered, most of them, but would reject Ted Cruz, meaning that if you're born in America on native soil, then you would be a natural-born citizen. But that is not what the original intent was. As Lawrence Tribe points out, the original intent was that both of your parents would be citizens. And he says, in addition to that, citizenship was conveyed through the father. So under that, Obama, with original intent, would not be qualified as a natural-born citizen. Neither, by the way, would Marco Rubio, Bobby Jindal, or Nikki Haley, who has been touted as a possible vice presidential candidate for the GOP establishment. And I find it very interesting, and this is why I think they're going to come after Donald Trump with this line of attack, because they had Nikki Haley give the response to Barack Obama, and she used that as an opportunity to attack Donald Trump for being anti-immigrant, saying she was very proud of the fact that she was an immigrant. She's the governor of South Carolina, where this debate is being held, and I can very easily see the GOP establishment coming in and saying, look, Donald Trump is so nativist, so xenophobic, that he would even exclude Ted Cruz. This is what's good about Donald Trump in the sense that he will bring up the uncomfortable issues. And on this issue, we should be paying very close attention to the fact that Ted Cruz wants to have it one way for himself while promising that if he's elected, he's going to appoint judges who will enforce original intent. I'm not so sure about that. Meanwhile, we have just surfacing today the New York Times reporting that when Ted Cruz ran for Texas senator, he got a large sum of money from Goldman Sachs, where his wife works, at a very low interest rate. That was not reported on Federal Election Commission filings. It was $500,000. Now, Ted Cruz said at the time that he and his wife used all of their savings. The loan was made to them personally. There was no reason given for the loan that he got from Goldman Sachs and from another bank. They were both very low interest rate loans. They did not disclose that on the FEC filings. When that was brought up today, the Cruz campaign said that it was an inadvertent admission. So we'll see. I'm still concerned about his connections with Goldman Sachs. I believe that he's not qualified to be president or vice president. Neither is Nikki Haley, for that matter. Join us tonight for the debate. We'll be talking about this and other issues as they come up. But I believe that's going to be the line of attack against Donald Trump that the GOP establishment will use. Join us then. InfoWars coverage of the 6th GOP debate in South Carolina. I'm David Knight. Joining me are Leanne McAdoo and Jakari Jackson. Darren McBreen is going to be taking your comments on Twitter, also monitoring Twitter and seeing what other people are saying. It's been a difficult week for Ted Cruz. Of course, he is head-to-head with Donald Trump in Iowa, so of course the gloves are going to come off, but we have seen a lot of things coming out fast and furious about Ted Cruz. Of course, the news that you probably heard, as you just heard me reporting earlier, the questions about his reporting of a Goldman Sachs loan of $500,000, and of course there was another bank that was involved in that at the time. He did not file that in the proper manner with the FEC, and it could be a small thing, except for the fact that he was trying to distance himself from his Wall Street connections, from his wife who worked at Goldman Sachs, who's a member of the CFR, who had been on a CFR panel talking about the North American Union. So he's trying to make himself look like every man. And I guess maybe he found that money in his sofa.
Well, right. That's the joke that's going around. As we were discussing earlier on, David, they were saying that while he's not contesting the fact that he failed to report it, his campaign has come out and said that he did report it in other ways. As you say, they want the official proper channels, but he's saying that he did release that information at some point.
That's right. Yeah, they said it was an inadvertent oversight. They didn't file it with the Federal Elections Commission, which is where you would imagine that you would file those things. But even more troubling to me personally is Cruz shifting his position on Ed Snowden. This is from The Hill today. They say, he says, today we know that Snowden violated federal law, that his actions materially aided terrorists and enemies of the United States under the Constitution. Giving aid to enemies is treason. So he's accusing Ed Snowden of treason. Now, previously, he said that if he pointed out that the government was seizing millions of personal records without search warrants, then he was doing a public service. He was criticized for that by Marco Rubio, but now he's calling Ed Snowden a traitor.
Lone traitor.
Yeah, yeah. Very troubling.
That's incredible. And saying that you can be against Snowden, but also, you know, be against the NSA and their overreach. Mm-hmm. A lot of people aren't really they're not happy with that.
Yeah.
How do you go around it if you want to be a whistleblower?
Well, yeah, that's the question, because they'll come down hard on Bradley Manning. They'll come down on Snowden and Assange and all these other guys. But it's always kill the messenger. It's never let's take a look at the people who are actually doing these heinous actions. And, I mean, I can understand you have a guy like Manning. He kind of does a widespread data dump, you know, endangers some guys in the field. I understand that. But nobody says after we get done with Manning looking at his case, why don't we actually look at the guys who are perpetrating these actions?
They never do. And that's what Rand Paul said. He said, okay, you want to prosecute Snowden? Then let's prosecute the people who are illegally collecting information. Let's prosecute Hayden. Let's prosecute Clapper, who lied to the Senate Intelligence Committee, lied to the American people, violated the Constitution. Prosecute them as well, because what they did is treasonous. But look, what Ed Snowden did was informed by the way that whistleblowers at the NSA, people like William Binney, people like Thomas Drake. Thomas Drake was prosecuted. They tried to send him to jail for possession of some documents that were training documents that have been classified after the fact, okay? Mm-hmm. Nothing that was classified information, nothing that even approached the kind of documents that Hillary Clinton was keeping, destroying, altering, and so forth and so on, okay? There was like four documents in question. One of them was like, you know, information is your friend. I mean, it was
innocuous.
Yeah, it was training type of documents, okay? And so they came after him, tried to persecute him, and Ed Snowden said that he saw this happen to this generation of NSA whistleblowers. Understand, there were four or five whistleblowers within the NSA that realized right after September 11th that they were doing this dragnet surveillance against the Constitution, people like Thomas Drake. And they were very concerned about this. They became whistleblowers, and they paid the price. They came after them. So Ed Snowden knew that if he blew the whistle on these people, they would come after him. That's why he did it the way that he did. I don't question what he did at all. I think he did a public service to the United States in exposing that information. He's not a traitor. The traitors are the people who are violating the Constitution, who remain in office, who lie to our face, and the politicians who back them up, people like Ted Cruz. And unfortunately, Donald Trump has said the same thing about Ed Snowden, that he's a traitor.
Right.
So where do you go with this?
I mean, well, and the complicit media as well, who backs them up every step of the way and demonizes these people in the media and in the minds of the American people who don't want to do any further investigation. They just want to listen to what the talking heads tell them to believe and understand.
Now, as we're talking about Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, again, Donald Trump brought up the birther issue, the fact of natural-born citizen, the fact that Ted Cruz does not qualify under that. Now, that's opened up a real interesting line of inquiry here, because I think that when we look at Ted Cruz, this underscores a very strong inconsistency, let's say, to say the least, okay? The fact that he wants to appoint Supreme Court judges who are strict originalists, people like Scalia, who say that we need to go by the strict interpretation of the text, even to the point of looking at what they were, what the original intent was. Look at the debates, look at the commentaries that happened at the time, okay? And that has been Ted Cruz's position. He says he's going to appoint judges like that. Well, Lawrence Tribe, who was Ted Cruz's professor at Harvard in law school, wrote an essay on Monday talking about the fact that a strict constitutionalist would say that Ted Cruz does not qualify under natural born citizen.
Wow.
He pointed out that the strict constitutionalist would say that you have to have two parents who are American citizens, that you have to be born in the United States. And most of the people who are coming up and questioning his citizenship, his requirement, his meeting the requirements, most of them are on the left. And what they are saying is that, well, we're going to give a pass to anybody if they had one or more parents who were not American citizens at the time, as long as they were born in the United States. In other words, anchor babies, okay? Mm-hmm. So your anchor baby candidates would be people like Marco Rubio, Bobby Jindal, Nikki Haley, okay? They were born in the United States, but they had parents who were not citizens at the time of their birth. But when you look at Ted Cruz, it's a bit worse than that, because Ted Cruz, even though he had one parent who was an American by birth, Ted Cruz was not even born in the United States.
Right.
So what we've got is a lawsuit's been filed in Florida against both Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, questioning their qualifications for office. We also have Alan Grayson, who's a congressman from Florida, and he's I would disagree with him on most issues, okay? But I strongly agree with him when he came out against the TPP and the transatlantic partnerships. Mm-hmm. He's very right about those. Yeah, exactly. NSA, he's been right on a lot of issues. So, you know, whether this is partisan politics to kind of throw a monkey wrench in the whole process or whatever his motivations are, he has been on the right side of some issues.
Right.
He says he's going to challenge a Cruz candidacy all the way to the Supreme Court, which is what Donald Trump tweeted out this week. Mm-hmm. Said, you know, it's going to be a disaster if Ted Cruz gets this because he doesn't qualify for this.
Right, and a lot of people want to come and attack Trump because he's the easiest target, because he's the one that sort of opens his mouth and doesn't say things in a very eloquent way at all. But there are a lot of other people that are also saying the same things or have already filed lawsuits with the same intent. And it's not just Ted Cruz, but it's Marco Rubio as well.
And that's the the good thing about Donald Trump, is that he's brought up things that would not have been discussed, but that should be discussed.
He brought the whole immigration debate to the table last year.
Exactly. And that's why we should have Rand Paul here tonight.
I agree.
Rand Paul should be here because he brings topics to the fore that other candidates do not discuss. And I think his exclusion out of this debate raises a lot of questions.
It's very telling.
Yes. Understand that this last survey that was done by Bloomberg in the Des Moines Register, it finished on Sunday, along with two other polls that were included. Now, those two polls published their results on Monday. But the Bloomberg poll held their results for 36 hours and published them first thing on Wednesday morning. That's when this all erupted. That's why Rand Paul was going on all the different media everywhere, television, radio, talking about this. Now, if that poll had not been embargoed for 36 hours, then Rand Paul would have been tied with Jeb Bush.
Wow.
He would have finished that strong. So they've got a poll, shows him finishing strong, so they hide that poll and they keep it out. And here's what I think is really offensive. The fact that Fox News would say, I'm sorry, they didn't report it in time, so we have to pretend it didn't happen. The polling took place between January the 7th and January the 10th, and they have to pretend that that poll never happened. And it's completely artificial, and it's, right. I think, a rigged system to softly, you know, rig this election.
Seen, oh, absolutely.
The crews out there right now in Charleston, South Carolina, Biggs did a report earlier today where he showed the Rand Paul supporters out there saying, you know, we want Rand,
same
we support Rand.
Rand.
Also, you know, Rand Paul, he's going on these media shows. He's kind of just fed up. He's just giving people the finger.
He flipped the media off today. He is
fed up. Ridiculous.
This is, we saw the same thing happen to Ron Paul, and he got shut out of every single debate, even though he was high up in the polls. They wouldn't even put his name on the screen.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
People didn't even know who he was or that's that right. He was running at all. And it's the same thing.
They would put people who had finished below him there
right.
And skip him. You know, he
and
might be in fourth place and they'd put the fifth, sixth, and seventh place
right.
People. Leave
and Rand Paul is the one that's been consistent years before all of this. He didn't get into the Senate to become the president someday. Like mm-hmm. A lot of these people, they haven't. What have they even done with their representation, with their political power? All they've gotten in there to do was shake hands, you know, and put some money in their pockets and make some promises for when they become the president.
Yeah, you had situations with Gary Johnson. They said you didn't meet the qualification. They didn't even put him on the polls.
That's okay? Right.
They didn't even list his name, even though he was a two-term governor. So they rigged this whole system. We shouldn't put so much emphasis on this horse race aspect.
Right.
You have to understand that, you know, people can push these polls one way or the other, depending on who they include in the polls, how they select the people that they're polling. So this whole thing is smoke and mirrors. We need to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one way that they truly do rig this election, building people's expectations up. Now, you turn talking about in terms of Rand Paul, one of the metrics that I saw was that this undercard debate that they have, as I call it, the junior JV debate.
The kids table.
The kids table. They had 4.7 million people watch that in the last one, okay? Mm-hmm. They estimate just from the TV appearances that Rand Paul put in over the last 24 to 48 hours that he got 7 million views on that. So, you know, that's I think he's playing that the right,
right
way. I think he's playing that smart. And it brings up another issue, which is the complete disappearance of the influence of money on television. I think it's part of the restructuring of media. The fact that television ads have not played that big of a role. People like Jeb Bush, who spent a lot of money on TV ads, have got nothing at all to show for it. And I thought it was interesting. One of his PACs just disbanded, and it was called Vamos Jeb, okay, which was Let's Go Jeb. But when I saw that, not speaking Spanish, I thought it was Vamos Jeb, like get out of here and get out of here quickly, okay? And so they disbanded, but a lot of donors are asking for their money back. They think this isn't really working out for them, even though with these super PACs, they can put in unlimited amounts of money into the super PACs. It just isn't paying off. Donald Trump has been able to come out and bring up topics that the other people will not broach, like, for example, natural-born citizen requirements. He brings those types of things up. It creates a buzz on social media, and then he gets invited to talk about it on the news programs. And that's what Rand Paul tapped into with this exclusion from the debate. I think
right.
That's a very wise thing for him to do.
Very
that.
Smart.
Yeah, guys, and if I can jump in here, they really are saying Rand Paul looks like the winner because he had unfettered access, essentially, to
yes.
Everybody's ears. He came on our show yesterday, was able to talk about, one, his audit the Fed bill and why it didn't pass. And I think it's mm-hmm. shameful that those Democrats just towed the line. People like Elizabeth Warren, who claim they're against the big banks, just folded, just said, whatever.
Right. And
they're
Cruz,
not serious about this.
Ted Cruz actually had the audacity to say, oh, it was just, you could tell it was going to fail, so I didn't even bother to go. What was it, seven votes? Seven votes? If he would have showed up,
that's
you know,
right.
He could have swayed the,
right.
those other six people to.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's another example. As I said, it's been a bad week for Ted Cruz. Reversing himself on Ed Snowden. Now, instead of Ed Snowden being a public servant, he is now a traitor. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then saying that he was a co-sponsor of Audit the Fed, but he can't bother to be.
Yeah,
to
it's going to fail anyway, so I'm not going to waste my time.
That's right.
Trying to fight for the American people.
And that happens
right.
Within a day or so of it coming out that he's got Wall Street connections
right.
with Goldman Sachs that he
didn't
want to report when he ran for Senate. So
yeah, he doesn't want to audit himself.
That's right. Yeah, don't audit the Ted Cruz campaign.
Yeah.
Don't audit his citizenship requirements.
Right.
And of course, as I said before, putatively, his mother was, she has a an American birth certificate, and they showed that as if that was the issue. That is not the issue. And you should understand and look for yourself to see what the qualifications for natural-born citizen are.
Now, didn't you mention that she had possibly taken an oath?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. a lot of people have questioned whether or not she became a Canadian citizen. Her name showed up on a Canadian voting roll, and they say the way that was compiled was they would go, as part of a census, they would go door to door and ask people what their age was, take their name and address, and ask them if they're a Canadian citizen, and then they would put them on the voting rolls. Now, his father admits that after he was fighting for Castro, came to America, then went to Canada, that he became a Canadian citizen. She does not admit that she became a Canadian citizen. He's not he's maintained that that didn't happen. But as Lawrence Tribe pointed out, when you go back and you look at the original intent, citizenship came through the father as well. That was another issue. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that would be something that would,
talked about.
Yeah. We've talked about Barack Obama in those terms. But I think the key point here that Lawrence Tribe was pointing out was that Ted Cruz wants to appoint originalist Supreme Court justices, which we would want as conservatives and libertarians. But at the same time, when it comes to what works out for Ted Cruz, he's more than willing to throw that under the bus and say, well, we're going to go with a living constitution approach. Mm-hmm. Okay. And just say that, well, I don't know what his basis is because he wasn't born in America. So, I mean, it gets really tenuous with him. He has the weakest qualifications for citizenship of all the anchor babies that are running for president and vice president that we're looking at. And as Lawrence Tribe said, one more thing about that that I thought was very interesting. He said all of this came about because people were very concerned there were going to be foreign European influence that was going to come into America and try to take it over by taking the executive position. Mm-hmm. And I think when we look at the presidency of Barack Obama, someone who had very weak ties to America, who grew up in Indonesia, not caring or understanding about our culture, I think that that's a legitimate concern to this day. Now, Lawrence Tribe doesn't. He's a liberal. And he says it was the same thing that caused them to put in the Second Amendment and to define militia. And he says, well, today I would say the militia is the National Guard, which is total nonsense. We all know that if you follow the program. But he says, I think that those are both born out of a concern of subterfuge, that there was going to be somebody to come into this country who did not have loyalty to this country, who wanted to make it into something that was different and then confiscate the weapons.
Right.
Okay. I think so,
too.
Sounds
very familiar.
I agree with Lawrence Tribe on that. I just disagree with him that that's not what's happening. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to Darren McBreen in the Twitter room. Darren.
Coverage of the debates, because everything you just talked about is not going to be mentioned during the debates tonight, and it's not going to be followed up on the mainstream media. So that's awesome. But, yeah, once again, Darren McBreen, I'll be here at the Twitter booth here at our Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas. And for the next couple of hours or so during the debate, I'll be monitoring Facebook. I'll be checking out the Twitter feeds. And I want to hear from you. Send us your questions and comments to @RealAlexJones. Be sure to use the hashtag GOPDebate. And I tell you something, folks, this is your opportunity to get your opinion heard, to get your voice out there. Because, let's face it, we have an army of info warriors out there, and together we can hijack social media, we can hijack Facebook, hijack Twitter, and a lot of people are, as you know, paying attention to this debate tonight, so we need your help to separate the truth from the lies. So, let's get this party started, @RealAlexJones, hashtag is GOPDebate. Back to you guys at the Political Science Theater.
Thank you, Darren. And we have also reporters on site in Charleston, South Carolina. We've got Joe Biggs ready to tell us what he's seen earlier today. Joe?
Thank you, Dave. That's right. We're live in front of the North Charleston Coliseum where the debate is actually going to be taking place. We've had a chance to actually come out here earlier and speak to some people. And it was really odd. We were standing out here earlier today, and I saw a large crowd of people moving towards us right down this road to my right, and they were marching up screaming. I couldn't understand what was being said, and there was about 30 Rand Paul protesters screaming and yelling, wondering why Rand Paul wasn't allowed to be in this debate. A lot of people were upset about it. You know, they were screaming Rand for president. I heard Jakari in one of the intros for the nightly news. I could hear the video that I took of that happening. It was very powerful. It was really neat to see these guys come out and show up in a large number to support Rand Paul and the fact that he should be here, seeing as how in the polls he has beat quite a few of the candidates that are going to be here tonight.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about this earlier, Joe, and if they had included that poll, which was taken, there were three polls that finished on Sunday. One of them was embargoed for 36 hours. If they had included that poll, and that poll was conducted by Bloomberg and the Des Moines Register, if Fox News would have included that poll, he would have been tied with Jeb Bush.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's really interesting. The stuff has come to light, you know, about Ted Cruz with Goldman Sachs. You know, Donald Trump has made a statement today saying that he will be, you know, hammering Cruz on that as well and trying to get to the bottom of what's going on with that. Apparently, his wife is taking leave at this moment in time with this information surfacing. So it'll be interesting to see how Cruz and Trump both kind of battle it out tonight in the first GOP debate of 2016.
Yeah, and of course, Heidi Cruz has taken leave. I think she took leave a while back to work on her husband's candidacy.
Faithful but wife also, duties.
Yeah, that's right. I think she took leave as much as anything else to try to distance herself
from
the Goldman Sachs connections. And I think that's why that information wasn't reported.
And this was information, guys, that we were talking about back in 2013. There's a Kurt Nimmo article out there. And
Ted Cruz's wife is a Goldman Sachs VP. I
exactly.
got it right here.
So this is not anything new. They're bringing it out now because he became the front runner, but it's definitely something we should look at.
Yeah, if you go back and you look at before she got to Goldman Sachs, kind of as a transitional thing, she was still working for another bank, and she was on a committee for the Council on Foreign Relations, CFR committee, that was looking at the North American Union, and the committee's recommendation was that there would be a border that would be patrolled around the perimeter of Canada, the United States, and Mexico. Okay, that was a recommendation of the CFR. And the guy who headed that was the head of Goldman Sachs at the time. After that report came out, Heidi Cruz went to work for Goldman Sachs. So there you go. But of course, it's a, what was it, a den of vipers? Was that what Ted Cruz said about Goldman Sachs?
Oh, it's not for
CFR. Yeah. It applies to Goldman Sachs.
Den of, the den of vipers, and I just happen to have one in my bedroom at home.
Yeah. So. It's absolutely amazing to me, but I think he's got a lot of problems. It's going to be interesting to see if this is going to be brought up. The natural-born citizen, I think, as I said in the report, I think that the GOP establishment is going to use that to criticize Trump, because we already saw a preview of that with Nikki Haley when she came after Trump, said, "You're angry, you're shouting at immigrants and everything." So I think they'll use that to say, "Look at this guy. He is so so extremist that he's criticizing Ted Cruz for not being a natural born citizen." I think even though they don't, you know, they don't like Cruz at this point, they want to bring him down, they will use him to try to bring down Trump. And I think they're going to take that approach. But it's going to be interesting, because now he's got to defend himself on this situation with the disclosure of the campaign finance, as well as, and it'll be interesting to see if they talk about Ed Snowden. That's one of the things with Rand Paul there that's not going to be talked about. The NSA stuff. They're going to have the same questions that they do every 4 years when they have these debates, the same.
I want to fix the economy. I want better education and so on. And
I don't
want
to talk about those H-1B or H-2B worker visas. Shh, we're gonna create jobs. We're not bringing in a bunch of people to take your jobs.
Yeah, absolutely.
No one will be there to contend them on that as well. So.
And this is going to be the Fox Business Channel, so they'll probably talk to them about the economy. How can they create jobs? And again, you know, if they tell you that they're creating jobs, they're going to create jobs, they're lying to you.
Right.
What they need to do is get out of the way. Yes.
Fox News, they've been hyping this debate all week long, and they're saying it's going to be a total brawl, right? That the gloves are finally going to come off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that remains to be seen. But they went as far as saying that Donald Trump is going to be viciously attacked by Dr. Ben Carson tonight. We'll have to wait and see what happens there. But, you know, that could really backfire on Ben Carson, because what doesn't kill Donald Trump only makes him stronger.
Yeah.
But here's what you won't see tonight. You won't see any of the moderators asking the real tough questions, right? Because that's not their role. Mm-hmm. And we know that only a handful of corporations, six corporations in total, own the entire mainstream news media. And it's these corporations, they're the ones that are making the rules. They're the ones that are running the debates. So, you know, any question that's asked by Fox, it's going to be premeditated. It's going to be scripted and pre-approved.
Right.
And I don't know if we've got that commercial that Jeb Bush put out about attacking Marco Rubio for his height. And for his position on immigration, of all things.
Yeah.
It's a really tacky, childish attack from Jeb Bush on Marco Rubio. Absolutely amazing. When you're talking about the tough questions, Darren, I think that's what they consider to be tough questions. Right. Asking questions of them about their personal lives, right, or asking Ted Cruz about the situation with Goldman Sachs, not asking them questions about what they would do with an out-of-control surveillance state, mm-hmm, or what they would do about the failed war on drugs for 44 years. They're going to just keep pretending that that's just fine. Everything is working fine with
and
that.
And this is why I think Rand Paul was not invited back, yes, because even though they might not ask him the questions, he's more than likely going to bring it up, yes, right? I mean, he's the only guy out there that's talking about
auditing the Fed.
Okay, there you go. And then and notice Ted Cruz, like we were saying earlier, he was a no-show. I guess his wife didn't want him to go vote on that. But Rand Paul, he might bring up the 28 pages, which is proof that the Saudi Arabian government was heavily involved in the 9/11 attacks. And Rand Paul, and you got to give Donald Trump credit as well, they're both talking about the Obama administration's role in the creation and funding of ISIS. So
that's correct.
So at least Rand Paul's not going to be there to talk about that tonight.
And, of course, he might also bring up, as he did in the last debate, the insanity of declaring a no-fly zone over Syria.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump said, I don't think that's a good idea. He wouldn't say that it was total insanity, like Dr. Strangelove level insanity. but Rand Paul did, and he was absolutely right to talk about it. The rest of the guys want to pretend, except, as you point out, Donald Trump and Rand Paul, the rest of them want to pretend that ISIS is some organic thing that grew up out of the Middle East instead of something that we created and nurtured and equipped and trained. They want to pretend that it is something external to American foreign policy and the CIA. But we know that's not true.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's been going on for a while because a lot of people point to the Obama administration. Yes, he definitely has something to do with it, but you can go back to the Mujahideen with Reagan. You know, the movie Charlie Wilson's War was loosely based on that. And people can see that. You can even see Mrs. Clinton, of all people, saying, we're fighting the people that we funded many years ago, and we just keep going through the same cycle. You just change the names of the people. You change the different guys in office, and the cycle continues.
We had an article on Infowars.com a few weeks ago talking about how, going all the way back to the 1960s, it was American intelligence policy that we would use the Muslims against the Russians as part of the Cold War to attack them. And we've been doing that since the 1960s. Now they're using the Muslims to take down the West, Europe, as well as the United States. That is the same foreign policy they used against the Russians. Now they're using it against the Western societies to take them down so they can have a globalist government, because you have to basically pull everything. There was an article about Detroit, Michigan, I think it was, one of the cities in Michigan, where they were destroying all the buildings so they could rebuild the city. That's their policy, just as we saw in the Captain America story, right? Yeah. You got to destroy it so you can rebuild it from the ground up. That's what they want to do to the West, and they're using radical Islam to do it, just as they have for the last 60 years against Russia.
I didn't see that, Wayne Madsen article.
Yeah.
Check that out.
Okay, so we're just about ready to start. I guess it's it's just before 7. They're going to start the debate in just a few moments. And again, this is the last debate probably that we'll be covering before the Iowa caucus. That's going to be on Monday, February the 1st. I believe there's going to be one more GOP debate, but that's going to be on a weekend. And of course, we haven't had a Democrat debate coverage yet because they have all been on the weekends. Like, for example, you know, the last Saturday shopping before the Christmas holidays, Hillary scheduled it for that through Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Well, didn't Star Wars come out that weekend as well?
Probably, yeah.
That gave her the opportunity to...
Yeah, the next one's going to be this Sunday. So, you know, NFL playoffs. So, yeah,
right.
Hillary and Debbie Wasserman Schultz are doing a great job of keeping that scheduled. They've had...
I did not realize that was this Sunday.
Yeah, they've had a lot of debates on the weekend, but, of course, we have not covered any of those. Now, what we're going to have, for those of you, always when we do this, a lot of people say, shut up so we can hear the debate. We are going to have the debate here. We're going to be looking at the closed captioning so we know what they're saying. But for the most part, we're going to be reading this and watching it occasionally. You'll hear what the candidates say. This is our live analysis and commentary as to what's happening with the debate. So you can listen to it on a second channel if you wish. But what we're going to be giving you is our live commentary as it's unfolding.
Our live analysis. We're telling you what they really mean when they lie between their smiling teeth. So that's what you're tuning in to InfoWars for.
Now, before we get to this debate, there's something I thought was interesting, and you hit on this a little bit earlier today, David, when we were doing the broadcast. Gary Johnson is going to be entering the race as a Libertarian candidate. And, you know, I haven't kept up with him for a number of years, so I'm going to have to go back and refresh my memory on his positions. But I'd definitely be interested to hear what he has to say and once again see if they would try to blacklist him again like they did in the last election. Yeah. They didn't want him anywhere near Obama and all everybody else. They said, no, Gary Johnson, you stay over there at the kids' table. Even though he had, you know, a sizable following similar to, well, he probably wasn't pulling Ron Paul numbers, but he had a passionate group of followers.
He had more than a million votes last time, but I think it was less than 1% of the vote. I was disappointed when he made his announcement, the statement that I saw, the things that he was talking about. He said, we need to keep abortion and gay marriage legal. We need to keep pot legal in the states where it's been legalized and make it and expand that. And then we need to make sure that we contain spending for the federal government on welfare and warfare. I thought that was very weak from a libertarian standpoint. Since he ran in 2012, we've had the Snowden leaks. He ought to be, and the Libertarian Party ought to be all over what happened with the exposure of the NSA, with the exposure of how they're doing dragnet surveillance. I don't understand why they're not out there more strongly. And so it'll be interesting if McAfee does continue to run for, he said he was going to run for the nomination to challenge him, the Libertarian Party. That could be an interesting debate because McAfee could bring what I think are the current pressing issues, not yes. issues that were there 4 or 5 years ago, many issues which personally I don't agree with. But nevertheless, those are issues that are
that we can get them on the table. I
exactly,
think
exactly.
At least something that's a step in the right direction.
And what they said there's been talk with the debate commission. They're talking about possibly including a third-party presidential candidate this time for the first time since Ross Perot was in. I think the only reason they're talking about this is because they're also looking at trying to force Donald Trump out through a crooked convention, okay? And if they do that, I could see him running as a third-party candidate. I don't think they're going to bring a Gary Johnson or a John McAfee in to a presidential debate. But if they pushed out Donald Trump and he ran as a third party, they wouldn't have a choice, quite frankly.
Right.
I think it would – everything would – the fraud would be – so in everybody's face at that point that it would not be tolerable. So
yeah.
So what's going on with the feed, guys? Have they started? I saw them doing some ceremonies there. Are they on a commercial break? Should we go to a commercial break? Let's go to a
in commercial break right now.
Let's go to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
1 second.
Okay, 1 second. They're not ready for it.
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new groundbreaking gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Welcome back to the InfoWars live coverage of the 6th GOP debate in South Carolina. I'm David Knight. Joining me are Leanne McAdoo and Jakari Jackson, and they are introducing the candidates right
Still
now,
waving.
About ready to give them their first questions, and they're waving to the crowd. There's Ben Carson, and he's had a lot of problems over the holidays. His campaign manager and many of the staff left. They were upset because he was getting, they were getting divided, control based on a friend of Ben Carson's who is also a talk show host. They felt that this individual was running the campaign and subverting them. He called the press to come to his house, and at that point he says, we're going to have a big shakeup, and that was right before the holidays. They all thought they were going to lose their job, and then he changed his tune and said, no, you're all okay. They left. And today he fired his campaign finance head honcho who was making $20,000 a month. How's that for management? So he's had a lot of problems with management. Let's go to the debate right now and see what the question is here. First question.
Research, jobs is one of the biggest issues.
Here we are. This is going to be standard boilerplate Fox Business stuff.
The president is touting 14 million new jobs and an unemployment rate.
How many jobs did you create? How many jobs would you create?
You didn't build that.
Anyone who claims America's economy is in decline is peddling fiction.
Mm.
Senator Cruz, what do you see that he doesn't?
Well, Maria, thank you for that question. And let me say thank you to the state of South Carolina for welcoming us. Let me start. I want to get to the substance of the question.
Welcome,
I want to start with something. Today, many of us picked up our newspapers.
And we saw stories about Ted Cruz.
Yeah, while he was doing that, Zero Hedge, I believe, ran a story just the other day talking about how the new job numbers are somewhat misleading because the job numbers also include single individuals who hold multiple jobs.
Yeah.
So if you work at, you work part-time at McDonald's, you work part-time at Burger King, you're like, well, look at all these new jobs. These are people who are forced to work these part-time jobs because of current regulations. It's difficult for them to get a full-time job with full benefits.
Yeah, because of Obamacare.
Yes.
Obamacare says you work more than 30 hours a week. They redefined what full-time job is. You work more than 30 hours a week, then you're going to have to give them insurance, so the employers cut their hours down. So now they've got to try to juggle the requirements of two different employers. Made their lives a lot more difficult. Plus, 17% of the jobs are being held by immigrants who come in, arguably to take jobs at a lower cost. All the job growth since 2008 has gone to immigrants.
The United States of America.
Now, I'd just like to point out that he did not answer the question about what do you think about the naysayers?
I decided to throw in my own comments.
We haven't created any jobs. He said, well, I want to talk about the fact that we're giving billions of dollars to Iran, and when I'm president, I'll make sure I bring the full fury down on them if they take some of our sailors. Like,
is probably
someone told him that. His advisor was like, talk about the Navy sailors.
Yeah, he's probably the slickest of the debaters. He was on the debate team at Princeton, and they were talking about the fact that Ted Cruz will get asked a question. He has dominated the time that all these people have, and one of the reasons for that is because when they ask him a question, he doesn't answer it. He talks about what he wants to talk about, and they come back and say, well, you didn't answer that question. I'll give you another chance to do this. And that's a good example of how they ask him a question about jobs. He wants to talk about Navy sailors being on their knees so he can wave the flag.
Right.
That's basically it.
So, David, are you saying that Ted Cruz is a master debater?
Yeah, more or less.
Yes, now they're asking Kasich about the stock market.
What actions would you take if the same thing happens all over again, just as in this example, you are taking over the presidency?
Well, look, it takes three things, basically, to grow jobs. And I've done it when I was in Washington when we had a balanced
budget. Ask him about the stock market. Ask him about Lehman Brothers, where he and Jeb Bush worked and took all of this massive paychecks.
You may have heard about this.
I mean, he was going out. He was working for Lehman Brothers. He was selling junk investment to the teachers' unions and pension plans. And he got, I think it was $500,000. It seems like that's a figure that keeps coming up again.
Yeah.
He got this huge several hundred thousand dollar commission at the time he was selling junk to people on behalf of Lehman Brothers, and you know, Jeb Bush's was also there. But
$500,000 must be the amount that you can inadvertently forget to tell anybody about.
Yeah, it's only $500,000.
Yeah,
so doesn't really quite.
I always forget when people owe me money like that.
Regulations, when you reduce taxes and when you have fiscal discipline, you see the job creators begin to get very comfortable with the fact that they can invest. Right now, you don't have the, you have taxes that are too high. You have regulations. I mean, come on, they're affecting everybody here, particularly our small businesses. They are, they're in a position where they're smothering people. And I mean, are you kidding me? We're nowhere close to a balanced budget or fiscal discipline. Those three things put together are going to get confidence to job creators, and you will begin to see wages.
Yeah, they will have a lot of comments about job creation and tax policy and everything. They will not go near the Fed. I guarantee you they won't talk about the Fed and its balloon policies that are, they're now in the process of puncturing them as they've raised interest rates for the first time. And we saw that happen before, raising, lowering interest rates and keeping them low for a very long time and then raising them a quarter of a point at a time until they can explode bubble.
Well, indeed, Fox Business doesn't want to talk about auditing the Fed.
Global events have many people worried. Iran detaining American sailors, forcing them to apologize. North Korea and its nuclear ambitions.
Did you say that you were that we've got Richard on the ground there in South Carolina? Rob?
Yeah, we've got Richard on the ground here. Ready to go if you guys want to take him.
Yeah, let's go to Richard right now. Let's go to Richard, reporter, and Richard Reeves, our reporter in South Carolina. Richard?
Yes, sir. David, thank you very much. We're out here, obviously, at the Coliseum where the event is taking place, and it's been a heck of a day. Earlier, Joe Biggs and I were at the RNC meeting. And lots of y'all that listened to the audio program with Alex today probably heard the interview with Dave Ajima talking about how that he had practically zero support for an impeachment resolution, basically something that really is almost toothless anyway to start with. But he only had three allies in the Republican National Committee that would be willing to help him with passing this impeachment resolution. So that gives you an idea how at the RNC level, the establishment GOP is solidly in control.
That's right. And that's out of how many people, Richard, did he say is 160-something people?
168 people.
Yeah.
And including Dave Ajima, you're talking about only three or four advocates for impeachment.
Wow.
But like he said, a lot of people say, well, it's too late for impeachment, et cetera. But one key thing he said at least twice on that interview is that it's never too late to do the right thing.
That's right.
It's never too late to do the right thing. And another thing that just kept coming into my mind and my heart as a patriot is that those 168 people, they shouldn't be GOP establishment rhinos. They shouldn't be neocons. They shouldn't be total sellouts like they are. It should be 168 info warriors in there deciding to impeach Obama and going to the House reps and saying, hey, you know what? We're not even going to put you guys on the ballot because you guys are not for the United States. You're not for the Constitution. You're not patriots. So guess what? We're going to make sure and put patriots on the ballot, and that way at least one side of the ballot will be good people.
Yeah, I agree with you absolutely. And, you know, when I listened to Dave, is Ajima, is that how you pronounce his name?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Ajima. I mean, he was a straight-up guy, and it reminded me of Winston Churchill in the history of the English-speaking people. What he talked about was he said, when America had its revolution, it was a liberation for England as well. To overthrow that tyranny of a dictator king enabled them have a parliamentary government. That's when those people really became strong. And so the Democrats need to understand as well that they don't want to have a Republican dictator down the road. And as Dave Ajima pointed out, many of these Republicans are saying, we want to have this kind of power when we get in office. So they're good with the fact that Obama is acting as a dictator. They don't have a problem with that. They want to be that when they get the power structure themselves.
Yeah. Well, sooner or later, that's what they're hoping, that it'll be their dictator. And going back to that point you just made also, that the United States becoming a free country helped England, and a lot of those people get more freedom over there. Well, this time, the way I see it, right here, standing here in now 2016, I see that potentially that the United States breaking free again from its bonds and chains of the NWO could mean that way more countries this time around the planet world could institute something more similar to the United States Constitution, but for real, with all the God-given rights that we're supposed to have. So I see our movement impacting with communications now the way it is. It's not like a slow boat across the Atlantic over to Europe to get the word in the news. Nowadays, right here we are with an iPhone broadcasting to the world right now, right this second. So there's no reason why we can't bring freedom and liberty to the whole world this time. And at least, you know, get 10 or 15 countries.
That's why, Richard, it's important when we see places like Catalonia or Scotland talking about trying to get their independence back. I think that sets a pattern of behavior. People say, well, hey, they did that there. Why couldn't we do that here? Why couldn't we break off the chains of a distant, oppressive government? Why couldn't we have more say-so in our own lives at a closer, a government that is closer, that is more local to us? Thank you, Richard. We're going to we're going to go back to the debate right now. We have Jeb, exclamation mark, making.
Yeah, he just said that he learned from his brother.
I'm going to destroy Russia if I'm president.
And he just said that what best thing he learned from his brother was peace through strength.
Yeah.
War is peace.
No, and worse yet, to be honest with you,
Hillary Clinton would be a national security disaster. Think about it. She wants to continue down the path of Iran, Benghazi, the Russian reset, Dodd-Frank,
Iraq,
all the things that have gone wrong in this country. She would be a national security mess. And that is wrong.
He'd just be a threat to the rest of the world, you know, blowing up people over, you know, false spot, yellow cake documents.
It's just amazing to me that they have restarted the Cold War. And of course, let's remember that it was the Democrats who restarted the Cold War, but the Republicans want to do it good and hard, and they want it to go hot.
The president says that ISIS doesn't threaten our national existence like a Germany or Japan did back in World War II, that the terror group is nothing more than twisted souls plotting attacks in their garages.
Oh, little hooligans.
Funded by our government.
Yeah, funded by our government. That's the important point, Rob. Yeah.
Those right. Little punks got out of control.
Let's not say that. Okay, we're going to all pretend.
So
it's little punks with rocket launchers, courtesy of Western governments.
Right.
Dangerous nutcases now.
Yeah, I would go, first of all, one step further.
I'm just absolutely fed up, too, that Neil Cavuto would pretend that ISIS is not some creation of the U.S. government. How many times do we have to show it?
Someone
the doctor,
who cannot handle
show the report.
Intelligence information appropriately
or how did they get those
and someone who lies
missiles
to the
out of Benghazi? I mean,
Benghazi can never be president of the United States.
Yeah, well, that's a decent statement there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the problem is they won't talk about anything but Benghazi.
Right.
You know, they won't talk about the bigger picture.
Lies about that and...
That needs to be cut to down to size. And that's how you get a foreign policy where we cut deals with our enemies like Iran. And we betray our allies like Israel. And we gut our military. And we go around the world like he has done on 10 separate occasions.
That was for you, Sheldon. Did you catch that? He said our allies like Israel. That's for Sheldon Adelson. He's trying to get that $100 million from Sheldon Adelson.
War against ISIS. Not just against ISIS, but against radical jihadist terrorists. And it is a war that either they win or we win. When I'm president of the United States, we are going to win this war on ISIS.
Are you going to win him by stop funding them? That's my question.
Yeah.
Right. It'd be so much easier to beat him if you'd quit dropping them weapons.
And if we capture any of them alive, they are getting a one-way ticket to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and we are going to find out everything they know.
How about we ever shut that down?
The Republican crowd loves Gitmo.
Let's make another one.
Thank you, Senator.
You know, I had a couple of interesting articles this week, interviews of people who were released out of Gitmo after being held for 14 years and never charged.
Yeah, so
tortured throughout that. One of the individuals had bruise marks in the impressions of the chains that they beat him with. Understand that, you know, Obama and the people on the left should be as angry about this as I am. Obama said he was going to get rid of Gitmo, and he didn't. Instead, what he did was he signed the NDAA, saying they could have indefinite detention of American citizens by the military to do the same thing to Americans that they have done to these poor people that they picked up that had absolutely no connection to Al-Qaeda, held them for 14 years, tortured them. One guy from the time he's 26 to the time he's 40. Now they're releasing him.
Right, or the people that you do know are really high-ranking within these terror cells, and then you release them and say, we're going to keep our eye on them for a year. I promise they won't get right back to terrorism, and, of course, they have.
Yeah, we'll let them get on Twitter so we can track their activity.
Yeah.
And we have enemies who are obtaining nuclear weapons.
This is, we all need to be afraid. We need to have full-on war on terror. All civil liberties need to be sacrificed. Safety, they're going to give you safety if you give up all of your freedoms. Let's just lay it out on the table and just have them all agree to that, sign a statement, and then we can just finish this debate. Because this is what they say every time.
And it's no wonder that, you know, so many young people are feeling the burn because of the things that he's saying, because they're just so tired of this. So then they want to go to this complete other extreme.
Yeah.
Even though he's done everything he can to diminish it. And the fact of the matter is, if we give them a mission and we don't tie their hands behind their back, they can get it accomplished.
Yeah, the solution to everything, understand this, boys and girls, the solution to everything, whether it's the war on drugs, the war on terrorism, is a military, and we just need to bomb the hell out of everybody.
And I think I just don't understand, they're asking Trump a question here, but I just don't understand why everybody keeps saying the cuts in military, like we're gutting our military like we have the biggest, strongest military in the history of the universe. I don't know how it can be
our police department, the number of police that we have in this country would be the fourth largest in the world. Of course, the first largest is our regular military. I mean, we are the most over-militarized country in history. And we got the most number of people in prison as well. But it's not enough. We should be afraid.
How do you answer that?
It's not fear and terror. It's reality. You just have to look today at Indonesia, bombings all over. You look at California. You look, frankly, at Paris, where there's the strictest no-gun policy of any city anywhere in the world. And you see what happens.
So let's just react to everything instead of looking at where it started.
Very, very badly wounded.
How are these young people online getting radicalized so easily? And it's because they're pointing the finger at the empire that's going around and policing the world.
Yeah.
And not actually doing anything helpful. It's to take their resources, to build their own power, to build their own empire. And you see these young people, they're fed up. Their whole families have been murdered and livelihood destroyed.
Well, as Gerald Celente pointed out today, we have dropped during Obama's administration over 23,000 bombs on people.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, without a declaration of war. So, you know, why would they be angry at us? So, you know, but of course, again, let's understand that it is using radical Islam, which is a combination of religion and politics, always has been, just as they use them effectively against the Russians. Now they can use them against us. So there is a real element there. Okay. And they can really use these guys who want to do this. And of course, we're giving them every reason to want to attack the United States with our foreign policy. And then if they can't find their way here, if they can't get here by coming in through Mexico or whatever, we will fly them in by the hundreds of thousands.
Right.
Okay.
$1 million in loans from Goldman Sachs and Citibank during your Senate race.
Oh, here we go.
Your campaign says it was inadvertent.
Should be interesting.
$1 million is inadvertent.
Well, Maria, thank you for passing on that hit piece on the front page of the New York Times.
It was about all of the money that you said you had in your personal savings, Ted. It was actually...
Oh, it was just a hit piece.
Yeah.
I had a columnist who wrote a column saying anybody but Cruz had that actually... Another
sure, everybody up there has gotten a little something-something from Goldman Sachs.
To an shoot the messenger. Don't address the...
From the movie, it
don't address the jump issue.
Apparently from
this is what he's doing with Ed Snowden, too, when he says Ed Snowden is a bad... Ignore what our government is doing. Ignore the fact that he didn't report it. Just say, well, it was the New York Times,
yeah,
or it was Ed Snowden, and Ed Snowden's a traitor.
Right, or ignore the fact that Hillary Clinton and her foundation are getting all sorts of donations from foreign governments.
Yeah.
And don't ask her about that. And, you know, it was an inadvertent misfiling with the Clinton Foundation.
Well, I was running for Senate. Just about every lobbyist, just about all of the establishment opposed me in the Senate race in Texas. And my opponent in that race was worth over $200 million. He put a $25 million check up from his own pocket to fund that campaign.
So he was an underdog. He only had $1 million that he borrowed
so he
from
just,
his wife.
Yeah.
Bank. We took a loan against our assets to invest it in that campaign to defend ourselves against those attacks. And the entire New York Times attack is that I disclosed that loan on one filing with the United States Senate that was a public filing. But it was not on a second filing with the FEC. Both of those filings.
Now, really, the
public
point, Ted, is that your cozy relationship that you've got with Goldman Sachs and Wall Street, that's really the point. Just like the point of the natural born citizen really is, do you believe in the Constitution when it doesn't suit your purposes?
It's really hard to make that argument that you're not in bed with Goldman Sachs. Mm-hmm. When that's you're sleeping with your wife, so
including things like gun rights, the national debt, and the sometimes
talking about gun rights next, okay? See how many people support the no fly, no buy.
All right, they're going to go to a commercial. Are we ready to go to? Let's go to a commercial, and we'll be right back.
Of the ancients, tried and true.
trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. It's a big club. And you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. The owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right.
Welcome back to the InfoWars live coverage with commentary and analysis of the sixth GOP debate. And, of course, they're now asking the big question that we've been talking about, and that is the constitutional basis of a natural-born citizen. So here's what Ted Cruz has to say about that.
Oops.
He says, I'm glad we're focusing on the important topics of the evening. You know what? It is. Being a qualifying under the Constitution is an important question. It's one that should be asked. And I'm surprised that nobody but Donald Trump seems to care about that anymore.
And isn't that exactly how Obama laughed it off as well?
Yeah, Obama laughed it off. Ha ha, birthers. Ha ha. The Constitution hasn't changed. Yeah.
No, it sure hasn't changed.
But the poll numbers have.
Oh. Wow.
And I recognize...
Well, you know what, Ted? There were a lot of us that were talking about the fact that you weren't qualified, neither were Rubio, from the very beginning.
Yeah, how is he going to get past that lawsuit?
Child of a U.S. citizen born abroad is a natural-born citizen. If a soldier has a child abroad, that child is a natural-born citizen. That's why John McCain, even though he was born in Panama, was eligible to run for president. If
born on a military base.
As a child abroad,
really
that
U.S. territory
is a
anyway.
Born citizen. That's why George Romney, Mitt's dad, was eligible to run for president, even though he was born in Mexico.
No, he wasn't. Read the Constitution, Ted.
But I would note that the birther theories that
Donald is
relying on, some of the more extreme ones insist that you must not only be born on U.S. soil, but have two parents born on U.S. soil. Under that theory, not only would I be disqualified, Marco Rubio would be disqualified, Bobby Jindal would be disqualified, and interestingly enough,
Nikki Haley,
Donald J. Trump would be disqualified.
I don't think so. I thought both of his parents were born.
I'm not sure about that.
Because Donald's mother was born in Scotland, she was naturalized. Now, Donald,
but I was born here.
On the issue,
if she was naturalized before he was born, that would not be a disqualification.
Because Rubio's parents were not.
Use your mother's birth against.
They were not naturalized when he was born.
You're an American, as is everybody else on this stage, and I would suggest we focus.
Let's just say that anybody that's, you know, we used to say anybody who's born in America, you can grow up to become president. But let's just say that anybody in the world can grow up to be president of the United States. Let's just make it that universal.
Yeah, you don't have to have any ties to our nation.
You can come to America, you can get a free education. You don't have to be an American citizen. You can come here, you can get a free college education forever if Bernie Sanders gets his way. And you can be president of the United States. You don't have to be born in America. Your parents don't have to be born American citizens. And we really don't care anything about what the Constitution says.
I don't like NBC, but I like the poll.
And
frankly, it just came out. And in Iowa now, as you know, Ted, in the last three polls, I'm beating you. So, you know, you shouldn't misrepresent how well you're doing with the polls. You don't have to say that. In fact, I was all for you until you started doing that, because that's a misrepresentation. Number one. Number two. This isn't me saying it. I don't care. I think I'm going to win fair and square. I don't have to win this way. Thank you.
It is a fair question, though. It isn't an underhanded question. You shouldn't hide from it. It ought to qualifying for the office of president. You know what? There's a certain age requirement as well. We're just going to waive that. Are we going to say a 12-year-old can be president? There are reasons that these things are there. If you don't like them, fine. Change the Constitution. The Constitution says what the Constitution says. And we need to understand, one more thing. We need to understand that when they passed the 14th Amendment, a lot of people say, well, it was made a moot point by the 14th Amendment. When they passed the 14th Amendment, the guy who wrote it said that it didn't apply, that it did not convey citizenship to foreigners who were born in America. How could you be a foreigner born in America under this theory? If you're immediately an American citizen because you're born in America, then you couldn't be a foreigner born in America. It's because you had to have American parents who were citizens and be born in America. That's what natural born citizen meant in the 1770s. It's what it meant in the late 1800s. It's what it meant until Barack Obama wanted to run for office. So we just waive all the requirements so we can have a foreign president.
You can even serve in office. So you should go out, get a declaratory judgment, let the courts decide, and you shouldn't have mentioned the polls because I would have been much
better. Why now? Why are you raising this issue now?
Because now he's doing a little bit better. No, I didn't care before. It's true. No, it's true. Hey, look, he never had a chance. Now he's doing better. He's got probably a 4 or 5% chance.
Donald Trump likes to maintain a big lead.
The fact is, there's a big.
Well, overhead. He was in the single digits until recently.
Right.
Been climbing up.
And you can't do that to the party. You really can't. You can't do that to the party. You have to have certainty. Even if it was a 1% chance, and it's far greater than 1%, because he wasn't born. I mean, you have great constitutional lawyers that say you can't run. If there was a, and you know, I'm not bringing a suit, I promise. But the Democrats.
The bottom line is it betrays his principle of strict constitutional interpretation. That's what Lawrence Tribe pointed out. Whether you agree with the fact that we should have a strict constitutionalist, or whether you think it's a living document, that's a matter of discussion. I think we should go with a strict interpretation. But he violates his own principles. He violates the Constitution.
Right, and that's what he said. He's spent his whole life defending the Constitution
for
the U.S. Supreme Court.
Until it's in his own interest to violate it. And that's something that is very concerning about president. We've had too many presidents who do whatever they want. When it gets in their way, just like
and
the one we
look,
got now.
But
Donald Trump
professor.
Was saying about the Democrats filing lawsuit. It looks like Grayson vows to file a lawsuit on Cruz citizenship.
Yes,
so that just came out, I guess, last week.
There was already there's been a lawsuit filed, and Alan Grayson is going to file a lawsuit if he hasn't filed it already. So.
And there's a reason why Hillary's supporters are echoing Donald's attacks on me.
He is not
Hillary
the only one.
Wants
he is
not Donald
the only
Trump
one.
In the
there
general
are many
election.
Lawyers.
And I'll tell you what, Donald, you very kindly just a moment ago offered me the VP slot.
It's not just the left who's saying this, okay? The New American, I've been saying it. A lot of people understand what a natural born citizen is. We've been concerned about this since Obama ran. And now what do we got? We've got three Republican candidates, and we've got somebody being touted as a vice presidential potential, Nikki Haley. and they all ignore the qualifications for citizenship.
I have a feeling
it's going to work out, actually.
They just offered the vice presidency to each other.
Great.
Ridiculous.
That's great.
Wow.
Well, you know, if you're not qualified to be president, you're not qualified to be vice president either. It's just whatever is expedient.
Yes, Marco Rubio, tell us how you are allowed to be the president.
To get back to what this election has to be about, okay? This is the greatest country in the history.
Yeah, let's not talk about the Constitution, guys. Come on, let's get to something that is serious, okay?
We got to bomb Russia, finance ISIS.
We got to hire more illegals.
Yeah, right. We got to get back to the business of running America.
Yeah, let's open the borders. Let's ignore the laws at the on immigration, and let's forget about the Constitution. Come on, we're wasting time here.
That's why I'm running for office, because when I become president of the United States, on my first day in office, we are going to repeal every single one of his unconstitutional executive orders.
Or are you going to repeal the unconstitutional executive orders of George W. Bush?
We are getting rid of Obamacare, and we are rebuilding our military. And when
let's take it way back.
We're going to have a president that gives a State of the Union and says, America's the greatest country in the world. When I'm president, we're going to have a president that acts like it.
Thank you, Senator.
Yeah, because we've already repealed the Constitution. So the next guy who comes in, he's going to be just a Republican dictator who can repeal whatever the Democrat dictator did. Oh, there she is. The big hero of the GOP establishment, because Nikki Haley was chosen by Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and the rest of the GOP establishment to attack Donald Trump, make him look angry and nativist.
She confirmed she was referring to you, among others. Was she out of line? And how would a President Trump unite the party?
Okay. First of all, Nikki this afternoon said I'm a friend of hers, actually a close friend. And I, wherever you are sitting, Nikki, I am a friend. We're friends. That's good. She did say there was anger. And I could say, oh, I'm not angry. I'm very angry because our country is being run horribly. And I will gladly accept the mantle of anger. Our military is a disaster. Our health care is a horror show. Obamacare, we're going to repeal it and replace it. We have no borders. Our vets are being treated horribly. Illegal immigration is beyond belief. Our country is being run by...
Gotta admit, I'm pretty angry myself with this whole thing.
And I won't be angry when we fix it.
Obama just wants to placate us all, and he winks at us and tells us everything's fine, creating lots of jobs for illegals.
And said, well,
I thought Ann Coulter had a lot of great tweets in response to what Nikki Haley had said. She said he's angry. We need to properly vet illegal immigrants, regardless of their race or religion, just like we have for centuries. And Ann Coulter came back and said, well, that translation of that means let all the Muslims in. She said Trump should deport Nikki Haley. And, of course, that's the problem. Nikki Haley doesn't understand or appreciate our history. She doesn't understand or appreciate our culture. She's made that abundantly clear as governor of South Carolina. She's Exhibit B, with Obama being Exhibit A, of why it is important to have people who are natural-born citizens who have lived here in this country for a while, who like and love the history and the culture of this country. It's important to have that in. Again, we see that the founders who created this country are far wiser than the politicians that we have today. It's another reason why I disagree with the idea of a constitutional convention. We do not want this bunch of puppets rewriting the Constitution. Although that's what they're doing right now on the stage. They're rewriting the Constitution.
Right.
Just ignore it.
I like Chris Christie, but we cannot afford to have a president of the United States that supports Common Core. We cannot afford to have a president of the United States that supports...
And we just saw the report from Project Veritas, where they're talking to the people of Common Core, saying that, you know, it's just a big scam to get people to buy textbooks.
Well, what they should be upset about is Ronald Reagan was right, candidate Ronald Reagan was right, when he ran in 1980. Jimmy Carter had created the Department of Education to centralize control of education, and it was less than 4 years old. Ronald Reagan said he was going to dismantle it. He could have killed that monster in the cradle, but instead it was about eight times bigger, if memory serves me correctly. when he got finished. He left it there and continued to grow it exponentially. And now we have the situation where we're fighting over what curriculum is going to be shoved down our throat at the national level. We need to get rid of the Department of Education, but they won't talk about that anymore. You don't even have a candidate who will say what Ronald Reagan said when he was running in 1980. Of course, Ronald Reagan didn't do it, and that's why we're having this conversation about Common Core today.
Planned Parenthood, our next president and our Republican nominee cannot be someone who supports those positions.
Governor?
Gotta agree with him on that.
I stood on the
gun control, Planned Parenthood, Common Core.
Yeah.
Someone told you that because we're running for the same office, that criticizing me will get you to that office.
How dare you point out my hypocrisy within the party? How dare you?
Baron von Honecker.
Yes.
So, set the facts straight. First of all, I didn't support Sonia Sotomayor. Secondly, I never wrote a check to Planned Parenthood. Third, if you look at my record as governor of New Jersey.
That was Jeb Bush. Oh, that's right. It was Jeb Bush that finally is.
Jeb's over there like, oh,
don't drag me into this. Don't mention the fact that my daddy and my granddaddy were at the top of Planned Parenthood.
Right.
And I said, oh, well, I cut off state funding of $300,000 in Florida. But meanwhile, Jeb's in a foundation.
Looks like in 1994 he donated to Planned Parenthood.
That's right. Yeah. And that foundation he was part of that he said, oh, we were just pushing Common Core with Bill Gates. They donated $10 million to Planned Parenthood as a foundation that he was head of. But then he says, oh, I cut funding by cutting $300,000. So he gives them 30 times the amount that he cuts from the state funding.
The last piece is this. I like Marco, too. And 2 years ago, he called me a conservative reformer that New Jersey needed. That was before he was running against me. Now that he is, he's changed his tune. I'm never going to change my tune. I like Marco Rubio. He's a good guy.
He's always going to push the war on drugs.
Yeah.
He's always going to threaten states to have decriminalized marijuana.
He did change his tune on gun control. Didn't he just come out the other day and say, oh,
he says he's evolving on gun control.
And now I'm okay with it.
Except, you're not going to, he's not going to allow the Second Amendment to get in the way of safety. That's what he said.
You know,
I'm all for public safety and I'm not going to let that be interpreted that way.
And I think the focus ought to be,
I'm going to put liberty ahead of safety.
Leave this nomination process as wild and woolly as it's going to be. This is not beanbag. These attack ads are going to be part of life. Everybody just needs to get used to it. Everybody's record's going to be screwed.
I'm going to attack Marco Rubio for being short. I'm going to say he's wearing
Rubio's dancing shoes.
And then I'm going to say when I'm questioned, I don't have a height issue.
Let's talk about fantasy football.
I know.
And it's not Hillary Clinton you need to unite against now. Now it's Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's feeling the burn, and you guys are just rubbing it in.
And he actually does want to talk about fantasy football, as you can see on the screen.
Yeah.
Regulate it?
Well, he wants to pretend that he's all, you know, we're not going to speak any evil of Republicans while he's digging the knife in everybody's back as soon as he can. I mean, what a hypocrite. Childish hypocrite Jeb is.
Tore themselves apart. You know, we have to stop this because, you know, if we manage to damage ourselves and we lose the next election and a progressive gets in there and they get two or three Supreme Court picks, this nation is over as we know it. And we got to look at the big picture here.
See, that's a problem too. Because we never, the Supreme Court gave itself in Marbury versus Madison, the right to be the supreme decider of everything. That's not the way this is supposed to work. As Jefferson and others said, we have a divided government for a reason. Let's go to Richard Reeves in South Carolina. Richard.
Hey, David, thanks. Well, putting it in reverse for a little bit, earlier the discussion was about the Goldman Sachs loan and the Citibank loan for Ted Cruz, which really it came up in an interview we did earlier with an attendee of the debate named Stephen that was talking about that there's just such a desperate need for campaign finance reform. You know, because what we've got right now is a system set up where if you want to run for a Senate seat, you probably need multi-millions of dollars to run and be able to win a Senate seat right now. If you want to run for a House seat, you probably need at least seven figures, at least $1 or $2 million for a House seat. So even for city council, even for county commissioner, you need hundreds of thousands of dollars in some cases to run for these seats. So what do we expect? what do we expect for these guys to have to do to even be able to run? Of course it corrupts them. So we need serious campaign finance reform. We don't want to step on the First Amendment when we do it, but there's got to be some way nowadays to be able to do it with people to be able to set up their websites with maybe somehow some simple qualification process for candidates to submit to run for races, and then they're allotted a certain amount of money to run with, and this is what you run with. So, you know, we got to not step on the First Amendment, but at the same time, the way the campaign finance system works right now is just, it's just like starlets that go to Hollywood and they want to go and be in movies. Well, what's going to happen to them? They're going to be on that casting couch. And so this is the political version of that.
Well, for a long time, elections have been an advanced auction of stolen goods. That's what H.L. Mencken called it. I think you're either that or Mark Twain. Anyway, whoever said it, that's true, okay? But I think, Richard, the problem is not to limit the First Amendment of people. I think campaign finance reform with artificial limits is really going to result in the same people who basically keep third-party candidates off the stage at the debates, even though they're qualified to be on the ballot. I've been with third-party politics a lot, and I've seen that even though we qualified for the ballot, we were never allowed to be in the debates, whether you're talking about local elections or whether you're talking about state governor elections or whether you're talking about congressional or presidential elections. We were always excluded, even though we were on the ballot. So I have absolutely no confidence that if we have campaign finance reform, that it's going to be a fair shake. I think they're going to keep people from getting access to, they're going to use it as a way to control access. I think the problem with what we're seeing here is that we've got too much power concentrated in Washington. And like a black hole, it is sucking in corruption and it is sucking in dollars. And people know that they can get a 5,000% return on their investment very easily by buying off a politician who will then turn a contract over to them. Mm-hmm. And that happens at every level of government. At the lowest level of government, of course, the crooked game is real estate. You get people in city council and you can get them to condemn or rezone things so that you can get stuff passed in real estate. And then when you get up to Washington, everything is on the table. So the problem is the power in Washington. We have to use checks and nullification in Washington. And as long as we got candidates like Ben Carson just said when he came on here, we have to be concerned about who's going to be appointed to the Supreme Court. We need to start looking at ways to contain the Supreme Court instead of giving them omnipotent power and saying we're going to have a dictator who's going to appoint people to the Supreme Court. I think the problem is there's too much concentration of power in Washington, frankly.
Well, there's no question about that. But, you know, you're talking about that, well, if we had campaign finance reform, that they would block third parties. Well, I think they've been thoroughly successful in blocking third parties already. Yes. So that's not the question. I think the biggest third-party candidate I remember winning a race in the recent past was Joe Lieberman, and we really know how third party he really is. You know, that's a total joke.
Yeah, so, it is.
Something's got to change in that regard. Absolutely, the power of the concentration in Washington is vastly just overwhelming. But the thing of it is we've got low-hanging fruit here, folks. I know at a personal level that the low-hanging fruit is being able to take over the Republican National Committee, being able to take over the GOP, fill it up with patriots, and then guess what? We can have good candidates on at least one half of the ballot right there.
I agree with you, Paul. I agree with you. I think, Richard, that getting people in at the state level, because part of the problem, and what we're doing it tonight, is you cover the races that are national, that are the top level. Those are the glamorous races. Those are the ones that everybody pays attention to. But the things where we could really make a difference, as you're pointing out, is getting involved in local politics. That's where you can really take it over at a grassroots level, and we don't. And one of the reasons we don't is because we get so distracted with these fake presidential elections, and that's the real sad thing about it.
And that is part of the plan.
Well, the good thing about the fake presidential elections is it could bring in these new people, these new fired-up info warriors and patriots that we need to take over at the grassroots level, because if they take over at the political atomic level, which is the precinct level, if they take over at that level, then guess what? We can start influencing races from dog catcher to president.
Yes.
And the presidential race will not be fake anymore. It'll be for real. Because as we'll see, as we talked about earlier, 168 RNC members, you couldn't even get a vote to impeach Obama with 168 RNC members. Well, I've been involved in this stuff long enough to know that there is absolutely no reason those 168 RNC members right now could be all be ousted in 2016. They could be ousted this election cycle if our people just show up to their caucuses and conventions and go through the process. And most InfoWarriors don't know that. But you know what? There's good people in the system that have learned to work it. The fact that a resolution for impeachment even came up for discussion, period, at all, is a fracture in the dam that shows that the dam is about to burst. And it just, the question is,
Richard, we're going to let you finish up after the break.
We're
gonna here.
Come we're going back after the break. Right, they're on break, and we need to take a break right now. Come back.
Shane Steiner's involvement with InfoWarsLife.com truly happened in an organic way. I went to high school with Shane, his brother, knew his parents well. And he was visiting the office once, hadn't been to the office in years, and said, wow, I notice you're making and selling supplements. Do these really work? Because I've tried a lot of supplements as a workout enthusiast, and I really think most of them are hype. And I said, here, take some home, try it. Well, a few weeks later, he came in blown away and said, I want to buy 3 boxes of this stuff to give my friends and family. It's simply amazing. He said, why does it work so well? And I said, listen, go to InfoWarsLife.com, watch the informational videos with Dr. Group and others. They understand how it all works. I know that it works for me. That's all I understand. The science, the facts, the research, people's testimonials, they're all on InfoWarsLife.com. You can check it out for yourself.
I wanted to go to the gym. I wanted to push myself and work out harder. And that led to me being able to come out and do stuff like the barefooting and the surfing and stuff like that, which what I would never done. I never would have done that 2 years ago.
Shane has said over and over again, more than just libido and energy, it made him want to get into the gym more. It made him want to get in better shape. And believe me, the Steiners have amazing genetics. His brother is a world champion steer wrestler. His dad, Bobby Steiner, is a famous world champion bull rider. They've got natural genetics. But when you added this to the mix, in Shane's own words, it took him to the next level. Bottom line, folks, you want to discover the power of super male vitality and super female vitality for yourself by visiting InfoWarsLife.com today or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
Television and radio stations of the United States and their affiliated stations are proud to provide facilities for a discussion of issues in the current political campaign by the 2 major candidates for the presidency. The candidates need no introduction.
At center stage, businessman Donald Trump.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
Neurosurgeon Dr. Ben Carson.
Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush. Florida Senator Marco Rubio.
Chris Christie, come on out here.
Welcome back to our live coverage here at InfoWars with a live analysis and commentary of the 6th GOP debate. They've just come back from break and they're talking about gun control, saying, well, it was right here in Charleston that Dylann Roof killed everybody. I think it's kind of interesting. They should ask him, say, well, we're here in Charleston. What about Charleston, Heston, that you said gave you this award, and he completely made it up. And of course, he had to.
He didn't give him a gun.
His campaign had to take that back and say, well, no, actually, Jeb misspoke. Let's go back real quickly to Richard Reeves in South Carolina. Richard, you were talking about campaign finance reform. I agree with what you had to say. I think we need to get involved at the local level. It can make a big difference in both national politics in the long term, as well as putting a bulwark against federal intrusion into state and local government if we have the right people in office.
David, you're right. I mean, if theoretically each individual got busy in their precinct and just find 15 neighbors, they could go back and get a list of primary voters from the Republican elections in 2008. They could get one from 2012. And with that list, they can find the Ron Paulers. If they can do a little extrapolation, they can find their fellow Ron Paulers in their neighborhoods. If they gathered up, I'm serious, David, if they only gathered up 10 or 15 of their neighbors in each precinct in each of these United States, done deal. GOP would be Patriot. We could rename it the Patriot Party, David.
I agree. I think people need to get involved at the local level. There's a lot we can do. Let's go back to the debate. Thank you, Richard. Let's hear Donald Trump's answer to gun control. Here's what he has to say.
What is going on? We have to protect our Second Amendment, and you cannot do this, and certainly what Barack Obama was doing with the executive order. He doesn't want to get people together. You know, the old-fashioned way where you get Congress. You get the Congress, you get the Senate, you get together, you do legislation.
You do legislation.
Yeah, the old-fashioned way. You know, as if the Constitution mattered.
Right, yeah. But he doesn't. He wants a little... Yeah. Pen and phone.
I mean, let's just call it that. Let's call it the Constitution. But of course, we can't have that discussion. The Constitution is old-fashioned and not appropriate if it gets in your way. And that's basically the approach of Barack Obama and the approach of Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio if it gets in the way of their getting to be president.
Right? Didn't Barack Obama call it just a piece of paper?
Yeah.
The other day.
It's not an option.
It's not self-enforcing. That's for sure.
Oh, piece of paper.
Of every American to be able to protect themselves and their families. I am convinced that if this president...
And to resist a tyrannical government. America, but, of course, he won't say that.
Okay. This president, if he could get rid of the Second Amendment, he would. I am convinced because I see how he works with his attorney general, not to defend the Second Amendment, but to figure out ways to undermine it. I have seen him appoint people to our courts, not to defend the Second Amendment, but to figure out ways to undermine it. Here's my second problem.
Just call it ways to infringe it, because that's what every one of the federal regulations on the Second Amendment are. You know, they are an infringement on the Second Amendment. They're an infringement on our rights that are recognized by the Second Amendment.
They buy their guns from a gun store. They steal them. They get them on the black market. And let me tell you, ISIS and terrorists do not get their guns from a gun show.
Thank you.
Right.
Maybe we should.
I'm not a fan of his, but I have agreed with him.
Yeah, he's made some very valid points.
The answer before he even knows the facts is gun control. Here's a fact. We are in a war against ISIS. They are trying to attack us here in America. They attacked us in Philadelphia last week. They attacked us in San Bernardino.
Maybe you should do a background check on ISIS before you arm them.
Right. I think they do, yeah. So they can give them to the worst people possible. The same way when they give them to the cartel members.
Undermining it the way Barack Obama does.
Yeah, so like I said, he's made some good points tonight. The question they asked Trump was, should gun purchases be limited in any way? Trump said no. But once again, he does support a no-fly, no gun buy list, and I can't get with that.
Talking about how he can't wait to restrict people's access to guns. He
has never. Yeah, exactly what you're saying. To expand on that, Jakari, you're saying that if the government anonymously puts you with anonymous charges, puts you on a secret list without due process, then you should also be punished for starters, not being able to buy a gun. But if they establish that principle, then the government, with a star chamber procedure, can remove anything from you, okay, including your freedom. They can put you in jail, with indefinite detention without trial.
For the rest of your life, you know, because they want to take these criminal terrorism database and expand them out.
Yeah.
When we see the 8-year-old Boy Scout who can't fly a plane because he has the same name as some suspected terrorist, when he turns 16, he's not going to be able to get a driver's license. He's not going to be able to get a job. He's not going to be able to get a college loan. All these things just because he has a similar name to somebody who's on the list, and the guy who is on the list probably doesn't even know it.
But the thing I find amazing is that they just run with this, and you see the assumption on the part of these Fox News anchors and Donald Trump and others that, well, because you are on some super secret list that you're not allowed to challenge in court. I mean, that's the basis of the fundamental basis of our rule of law. Because they label you anonymously, secretly, now you should be punished for this. And nobody pushes back against that. They just say, oh, yeah, well, I guess terrorists shouldn't have guns. And it's like, you're not a terrorist because the government secretly calls you a terrorist.
Or you're a three-year-old.
Like, your buddy Lindsey Graham. Shut up. You don't get a lawyer.
That's right. That's right.
I'm just joking. David hates Lindsey Graham.
That's right.
I don't think anybody really likes the guy.
It goes back to the NDAA, indefinite detention without trial, without charge.
In fact, is in New Jersey.
Get Mo for everybody.
Is to make it easier now to get a conceal and carry permit. We have made it easier to do that, not harder. And the way we've done it is...
Because it is that important, and that's why I undermined it.
Not by signing unconstitutional...
You know, Christie, he's a little lukewarm on gun rights because he has pardoned people. I know who've been arrested on some trumped-up gun charges. I'll give him that. But some other stuff he says, I just can't really get with.
No.
Because here's what I'd like to tell.
He still said in that article, what he's talking about, he's evolved on the Second Amendment. He still says, but if it's about safety, I'm not going to give up safety. In other words, still going to say, you know, your liberty is subordinate to the presumption of safety. That's not a trade-off.
We have the biggest majority we've had since the 1920s in the House. A Republican
give up his liberty for safety deserves neither.
And will get neither. The American people have to the degree that you give up your freedoms, you become a slave. And slaves are never safe.
It's not constitutional. Mm. And we are going to kick your rear end out of the White House come this fall.
Well, he's leaving anyway.
All right. Let's go, Republican.
All right, we are going to definitely kick you out.
Yeah.
And guys, up on screen, we're showing just some of the gun love that Chris Christie really has. He loves to ban 50 caliber weapons.
Yeah, that's right.
Anything with more than 10 rounds, you know, if all you have 11 assault, attackers, you're screwed.
He's for an assault weapon ban, and he was very clear about
let
that.
Let you protect
before.
Yourself as long as you only need 5 bullets to do
it. Yeah, as long as you pull out your freaking revolver like in an Old West movie, I'm okay with that.
He is brainwashing the American people against guns. He appointed Sonia Sotomayor to the Supreme Court, someone who has been a radical against the Second Amendment. Amendment right to keep and bear arms. He launched Fast and Furious.
And I was just telling you during the break, Jakari, we were talking about it when we had the 1,000 people show up in front of the Alamo for an open carry rally. Ted Cruz was there, kind of. He wasn't at the rally. He didn't show up. He didn't say anything to anybody. He didn't speak. He was in the hotel across the street. And he was doing a fundraiser with some blue-haired old Republican ladies. That was his contribution to the open carry rally with 1,000 people there, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was immediate.
Really
if nothing else, I mean, just as the spectacle. If you didn't know anything about guns, you hated guns, walk out there and see what's going on.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't help but look at it.
You couldn't miss it. I mean, the place was crowded. But he was going for the money.
Right,
he was
going for the money. It was about the money, not about the people that he was going to represent. He's representing those blue-haired ladies.
Yeah. Guys, we have some breaking news from Darren McBreen, actually. I think he's found an ISIS safe house that's been located on American soil. Darren, let's go to you.
That's right. And, you know, I guess one of my favorite, you know, one of the best ways of a political awakening is the use of political satire, political comedy, you know, the cartoons. Nowadays, everybody's using the memes. And here we go. We have breaking news right now. And this is the FBI releases a picture of a ISIS safe house. And you can see right there that it is the White House.
That looks familiar, yeah.
Yeah, so it's very powerful. And all it takes is just some imagination. You take a nice picture, put a smart-ass comment on there, and millions of people have the opportunity to see that. So very powerful stuff. Good job.
Yeah, that's awesome. Great. That's great.
Let's go back to him.
Okay, let's go back to the debate. Let's finish up with his comments.
We're nowhere to be found in that fight.
Senator,
you were nowhere to be found with the audit the Fed, buddy.
Yeah, he was AOL, AWL, AWL, AWOL.
AWOL.
America Online, yeah.
Could you explain what you mean by that?
You know, I think most people know exactly what New York values are.
I am from New York.
Well, you're from New York, so you might not. But I promise you in the state of South Carolina, they do. And listen, there are many, many wonderful, wonderful working men and women in the state of New York. But everyone understands that the values in New York City are socially liberal or pro-abortion or pro-gay marriage, focus around money and the
media. Who was it, Cuomo, who said, if you don't like abortion and gay marriage and all this stuff, get out of my state?
Yeah.
Bruce Springsteen's born in the USA. And I was asked what I thought of that, and I said, well, if he wanted to play a song, maybe he could play New York, New York.
Oh, I thought he was going to say, Born in the USA, that doesn't apply to me.
Right.
He likes Oh Canada, maybe.
Trump might use that as a comeback.
With Tim
Russell. You couldn't play Born in the USA.
In that interview, he explained his views on a whole host of issues that were
Land of winners.
From the views he's describing now. And his explanation, he said, look, I'm from New York. That's what we believe in New York. Those aren't Iowa values, but this is what we believe in New York. And so that was his explanation. And I guess I can frame it another way. Not a lot of conservatives.
Iowans, I'm just like you. I forgot to mention I got a half a million dollar. Just whoop.
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
We're not all about the money, me and my wife.
Yeah.
It's just so.
Conservatives actually do come out of Manhattan, including William F. Buckley and others, just so you understand. And just so if I could, because he insulted a lot of people, I've had more calls on that statement that Ted made. That New York is a great place. It's got great people. It's got loving people, wonderful people.
If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
I saw something that no place on earth could have handled more beautifully, more humanely than New York. You had 200 You had 210-story buildings come crashing down. I saw them come down.
In free fall, right in their own footprint. And a third one,
actually. There was three, buddy. Yeah. Three buildings.
Three buildings came down that day.
Two planes, three buildings. Two planes, three buildings. We need to play that song.
One of them was announced in advance on BBC, I believe.
That's right.
Yeah. Building
about 20 minutes ahead of time.
Yeah. Pull it down. Yeah. Pull it down.
Fought and fought and fought. And we saw more death and even the smell of death. Nobody understood it, and it was with us for months, the smell, the air.
And then all the people got sick, the first responders, they told them they couldn't come to the 9/11 memorial.
Yeah. And everybody in the world.
Well, I can tell you what, you know, what they enacted in the wake of 9/11 has the smell of death to it. The entire Patriot Act and national surveillance state has the smell of death. And it stinks. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this surveillance state that we've got going. And they won't address that.
Yeah.
They won't address it. Rand Paul's not there tonight.
They just want to remind everyone of that moment that allowed them to give up some of their rights. But that's were all rallying around that patriotism at that time.
Well, look, it was a horrible, heart-wrenching thing. People really died.
Right.
But let's not pay attention to the fact that three buildings fell down with two planes right in their own footprint.
Okay.
Doing this sort of thing.
Well, first of all, under President,
ask him about Marvin.
Where's Marvin? The military. Last week, Secretary Carter announced that the Navy's going to be cut again. It's now half the size of what it was prior to.
There you go, Jakari. Our military is just it's a rump organization.
We got to make America great again.
Done for refreshing the equipment. The B-52 is still operational as the long-range bomber. It was inaugurated in the age of Harry Truman.
And they just did that naval ship, very expensive.
So we need new planes.
Oh, stealth.
That stealth thing, and it went, 40 miles and then broke down?
Yeah.
And it tow it back to port?
Ridiculous.
Yeah. He's getting his military industrial complex buddies are like,
They're saying a lot of the new Navy ships can't even handle the high seas now.
Yeah.
Wow. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Well, that one can only get out and go 40 miles if it broke down.
By a testing medium.
We should make Japan build our ships.
We need to move our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem to send a serious signal that we're back in the game with.
We got all the missiles we need. What are you talking about, Jim?
Yeah.
We're not freaking North Korea with our firecrackers.
Have technological superiority. We need to get back in the game as it relates to our Arab nations. The rest of the world is moving away from us towards us.
We need to get back in the game. That's why they restarted the Cold War, because, you know, even though there's a nice profit center, a lot of money to be made with the war on terror and with the war against the American people, with the police surveillance state. You can spend a lot of money on cameras and computers to store everybody's communications and everything. But for the really big bucks, you need a Cold War, because you need to have that, you know, delivery of missiles. You got to have all the silos, intercontinental ballistic missiles, and the planes, the bombers to take them over. That's where the real money is. That's why they're starting this up again.
To dramatically increase oil production. Some say in an effort to drive down oil prices and force a lot of U.S. oil producers out of business. Sure enough, oil prices have tumbled. One brokerage house now is predicting a third or more of American oil producers and those heavily invested in fracking will go bankrupt. And soon Saudi Arabia and OPEC will be back in the driver's seat. U.S. energy player Harold Hamm recently told me, with friends like these, who needs enemies? Do you agree?
Well, let me first of all talk a little bit about my experience. I served on the Defense Committee for 18 years, and by the way, one of the members of that committee was Senator Strom Thurmond from South Carolina. Let me also tell you that after the 9/11 attacks, Secretary Rumsfeld invited me to the Pentagon.
Just needed that applause.
Secretaries of Defense. And in that meeting, I suggested we have a problem with technology, and that I wanted to take people from Silicon Valley into the Pentagon to solve our most significant problems.
Spying on everybody.
Right. The Pentagon is in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
So they reversed it around.
Palantir is growing so fast, a company that is a data mining company that was set up by the CIA. They were the venture capitalists in that, InQtel. Their venture capitalist firm. They're growing so quickly that they're driving every, nobody can get any office space in Silicon Valley and Palo Alto, the heart of Silicon Valley. That's the other price that we pay with military industrial complex is that, these weapons of war drive everything out of our life that could be giving us something of real benefit. Everything is being co-opted into building weapons and surveillance, methods, and these people are getting rich off of it. And until we stop Washington from doing that, it's going to be this black hole of corruption that pulls in crooks like these people we have on stage.
Right. Well, it's even with all the ingenuity there with the artificial intelligence, all of that technology is going to the government because the government is the only one that can afford to pay these companies to do the research. And
it's what Eisenhower warned us of with his military-industrial complex. He said, The military-industrial complex is going to take over all research, all industry. It's going to become this thing that just feeds on itself, this eater that takes that eats out our substance, and that's really what is happening.
Right.
But, so let's tell everybody how we're going to make the military-industrial complex even bigger, Let's grow it.
Really,
it's not growing fast enough. Yeah.
You see, with the Saudis, deliver them a strong message, but at the end of the day, we have to keep our cool because most of the time they're going right with us. And they must be part of our coalition.
You know, the people who behead more people than ISIS, you know, of course, ISIS is our ally. Saudi is our ally. The most violent and radical Muslims are our allies. And we shouldn't say anything to Saudi Arabia because they're our good guys. You know, they have
us. It's civilized beheadings.
Yeah. Saudi Arabia has us in their pocket because our dollar is based on the petrodollar. All right, they're going to break. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more live coverage of the 6th GOP debate.
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
One of the worst things with most energy products is it's not sustainable, right? You're going to crash and going to feel really bad afterwards. This has a bunch of different antioxidants and compounds and polyphenols.
Everybody's on these drugs to knock their brain out because the brain's so fried.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
You will find Brain Force, Survival Shield X2, and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139. Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and cannot be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical-grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosylcobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. Pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new groundbreaking gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Welcome back to the live coverage of the 6th GOP debate. This is InfoWars. I'm David Knight. With me is Leanne McAdoo and Jakari Jackson. And you just missed a shout-out to Lindsey Graham in the audience. It's so sad that you missed that if you were waiting to come back to this. Now, they're just asked a question to Ben Carson. Let's go back to the debate and get his answer here.
So we need to take that away from them. The way to take that away from them is to talk to our military officials and ask them, what do you need in order to accomplish this goal? Our decision is then, do we give them what they need? I say yes, not only do we give them what they need, but we don't tie their hands behind their back so that they can go ahead and get the job done. In addition to that,
so that's his foreign policy. Let's ask our military leaders what they need and let's not tie their hands. And that's what we're hearing from all these guys.
I mean, yeah, in one way or another, yeah.
Boilerplate generalities. Keep hearing.
It's coming out of there because there might be a person in it. Give me a break. Just tell them that you put a people in there, we're going to bomb them.
I'm interested.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Christian, we break off because sometimes we think we might kill innocent people. Just give me a break. Just tell them if you go in that area, we're going to kill you.
Well, they keep talking about giving the military everything they need. Why don't you start limiting their enemies so they have less people to fight? Why don't you stop arming the people that they're fighting against? That's something they need so they can actually go home to their wives and children.
Yes.
Attack them everywhere they go.
Right. I just was telling that story tonight. The woman that's trying to sue Twitter for giving ISIS a platform, her husband was going in and trying to train some moderates to, police the city, and they killed him.
Support for its coalition. If it removes Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, and I quote, the now king of Saudi Arabia told us, you can have our army, you just got to deal with Assad. The Emir of Qatar said, I'll pay for the operation.
Oh, yeah, Ms. Lindsay. I agree with that. We should be telling everybody who their president should be, and we should threaten them. We should, just like we did with Iran.
That's what I would do if I was president.
Yeah. I mean, what do we?
Shut up. You don't get a lawyer.
That's right.
Shut up. We decide who your president's going to be. You don't like it? We'll do a CIA coup or we'll bomb you into dust. That's what their foreign policy has been.
That's pretty much what his is. Lindsey Graham just blow up half the planet. He's killed
now. Over. I'd be interested to find out from Darren McBreen if Rand Paul has been chiming into this debate and tweeting about it.
Clinton, who called Assad a reformer. She called Assad a reformer. Now, the fact is, what this president.
Now, here's the issue, okay? Do you really think that Assad is worse than ISIS? They act as if Assad and ISIS are the same.
Yeah.
Okay? They don't even recognize that they're fighting each other, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even recognize the fact that if they're going to depose Assad, then we're going to wind up with ISIS there. But, of course, that's precisely what they want, because that will justify a larger military.
Right.
It'll justify boots on the ground. We can go in then and bomb them and so forth. But they pretend that they're on opposite sides, and the American public goes for this. I mean, not only is it an affront to tell us that they didn't create and arm ISIS and continue to do so, but then they want to tell us that these people are on the same side.
Yeah. And nobody's here cheerleading for Assad. It's just the fact that, as you're saying, these guys are fighting each other. Once again, as you're pointing out, we are funding the people that are actually fighting Assad. And then saying we have to go kill Assad because he's supposedly teamed up with ISIS.
And we're funding the revolts everywhere. If you look at what happened in Benghazi, they want to talk about Benghazi and all the time, okay? But talk about why we had to overthrow Omar Gaddafi. He was a problem at one point in time, but he had been basically not causing anybody a problem. And then when we overthrew Gaddafi, what did we wind up with? We wound up with Libya now being the arms bazaar for all of these radical Islamists. And the same thing is going to happen in Syria. Assad is not a good guy, but you're going to wind up with another Libya, which is precisely what they want.
Mm-hmm.
They want chaos. They want continuous war.
Created a firestorm. According to Facebook, it was the most talked about moment online of your entire campaign, with more than 10 million people talking about the issue.
Including Louis Farrakhan, who actually agreed with it.
Yeah, good point, Rob. Yeah. Louis Farrakhan agreed. Yeah.
Look, we have to stop with political correctness. We have to get down to creating a country that's not going to have the kind of problems that we've had with people flying planes into the World Trade Centers, with the shootings in California, with all the problems all over the world. I just left Indonesia. Bomb, 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 bomb. We have to find out what's going on. I said temporarily. I didn't say permanently. I said temporarily.
Yeah, they always leave that out.
Yeah, until the vetting I mean, they admit the vetting process is an issue. Obama says they can't, the program doesn't work to vet people who buy guns, but yet you're going to invite people
into the
country
and
pretend they're not, might not be terrorists?
Gun owners, yeah, we need background checks. Islamicists from areas that we're fighting people who are, you know,
the system's
no problem.
Hey guys, one thing I'm hearing now, Mikhail just popped in and said that Rand Paul is the only candidate trending on Twitter right now. And look, you can watch him. He's on Periscope. Talking. Right,
well, that's what I was just asking. I was curious if he had been chiming into the debate at all.
Good.
Donald, can I
help? And there's his Twitter, so he literally flips off the media after debate firestorm. There it is.
And I guess Jeb gets to come in because Donald mentioned the word stupid, and Jeb identifies with that. Wait, he's talking about me. I was saying, you know,
he's like, that? Clearly that was directed at me, so I'm gonna chime in.
We've seen Jeb, and we've seen W, and I guess the question is, what about Marvin, and I think there's another brother. I mean, are they still in the attic? They're afraid to let them out because they're... let the smart boys out.
Well, that's what they have with years and years of family inbreeding. You're always going to have one wild card that you got to...
Whatever their problem is, I don't know.
People, you know, the Islamic terrorists inside, embedded in refugee populations. What we ought to do is tighten up our efforts to deal with the entry visa program so that a citizen from Europe, it's harder if they've been traveling to Syria or traveling these other places where there is Islamic terrorism, make it harder, make the screening take place. We don't have to have refugees come to our country, but all Muslims... Seriously? What kind of signal does that send to the rest of the world that the United States is...
Can you be a president if you got an H-1B visa?
You said that he...
Hey. They're setting the precedent now.
I mean, basically, we could make a good case that there's not anybody that we see qualified to be president here. So maybe we should have an H-1B visa and let open this up for the global economy, because obviously citizenship doesn't matter anymore. So let's open it up for visas.
With Mr. Trump.
They can come in for just 4 years at a time.
Absolutely not. I can see why people are angry.
I, President. Interim President.
Because created a condition where our national security has weakened dramatically. I totally get that. But then we're running for presidency of the United States here.
Oh, we are?
This isn't, you know, a different...
You figured that out.
You have to lead. You cannot make rash statements.
They call me Jeb. I heard that.
The rest of the world to respond as though, well, it's just politics. Every time we send signals like this, we send a signal of weakness, not strength. And so it was an unhinged statement, which is why I'm asking him to consider changing his views.
I want security for this country, okay? I want security. I'm tired of seeing what's going on between the border where the people flow over, people come in, they live, they shoot. I want security for this country. We have a serious problem with, as you know, with radical Islam. We have a tremendous problem. It's not only a problem here, it's a problem all over the world. I want to find out why those two young people, those two horrible young people in California, when they shot the 14 people, killed them, people they knew, people that held a wedding reception for them. I want to find out. Many people saw pipe bombs and all sorts of things all over their apartment. Why weren't they vigilant? Why didn't they call? Why didn't they call the police? And by the way, the police are the most mistreated people in this country. I will tell you that. The most mistreated people. But can I say, we need vigilance. We have to find out. Many people knew about what was going on. Why didn't they turn those two people in so that you wouldn't have had all the death? There's something going on, and it's bad. And I'm saying we have to get to the bottom of it. That's all I'm saying.
We need
security.
We want to hear from all of you on this. According to Pew Research, the U.S. admits more than 100,000 Muslim immigrants.
Well, I gotta say, I'm looking at Twitter right now, and Rand Paul has been answering questions from Twitter that the people are actually asking him, rather than a lot of these hand-picked questions that the commentators will ask. And it's right here live in the video.
That they're asking here, because these questions don't really reflect on anything. I mean, you could go back and pull up the same questions they had 4 years ago, 8 years ago, 12 years ago.
Put everybody in the same.
So what kind of questions is he getting?
So he's actually getting more followers, and he is the number one trending topic of the debate, and then Donald Trump is the second in second place. So he's not even here. He's not even participating in this debate. They're asking, you know, what will you do to limit NSA spying?
Well, I think that's great. He may have found a way to, as Donald Trump has found a way with making outrageous statements, to get around the control of the media conglomerates. And now Rand Paul has found a way to get around the control of the media conglomerates using social media, essentially like Donald Trump did. But now this is using it in a way where they're talking substantively about issues instead of just throwing firebombs. And hopefully this will be his breakout moment.
Yeah, and he has always been in the forefront with using social media. He's one of the only candidates that is on pretty much every single platform, which is why he came out of the gate running and was doing so well before Trump came out. But yeah, I mean, this was really impressive.
That's great.
It would be safe. That's the end of the conversation. I can tell you, after spending 7 years as a former federal prosecutor, right after 9/11, dealing with this issue, here's the way you need to deal with it. You can't just ban all Muslims. You have to ban radical Islamic jihadists. You have to ban the people who are trying to hurt us. And the only way to figure that out...
How are we going to do that? The FBI said they can't vet them.
Yeah.
The funding and the tools that it needs...
Oh, that's how you do it, Rob. You give a blank check to the police industrial complex. You're going to buy some more computers and some equipment. You know, like those useless scanners that they put at the TSA? You know? That's the way you do it. You find some of your buddies who have a company, and you spend billions of dollars buying useless equipment from them.
Donald's topped in some of that anger that's out there about this whole issue, because this president has considered
consistently underestimated the...
Probably get it from the same people that make the BS detectors, you know?
Yeah.
Harris detector, BS detector. Of course, the BS detectors don't seem to be working too well for the public in terms of these debates.
Well, even with those TSA scanners, you know, we saw the report just, just the end of last year, the guy who flew, I believe he was a trucker, had a pistol in his carry-on bag. You know, they couldn't catch it in all the other reports of multiple people going through, doing tests where they couldn't find weapons on them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. John Corbett pointed that out, too. Yeah.
We do not know who you are, and we do not know why you are coming. When I am president, you are not getting into the United States of America.
Senator Cruz, where do you stand?
Unless you come through Cuba, which is all about Cuba.
Senator Cruz.
You see, that's the whole thing. It's like everything is forbidden to us unless the government expressly permits it. But, of course, everybody in the world is permitted to come here unless we can somehow find a reason to keep them out. I mean, that's everything is upside down.
An apologist for radical Islam.
That would be a good reason for somebody to immigrate to the United States. That would be known.
Focused like a laser on keeping this country safe and on defeating radical Islamic terrorism. What should we do? First, we should pass the Expatriate Terrorist Act, legislation I've introduced that says if an American goes and joins ISIS and wages jihad against America, that you forfeit your citizenship and you cannot come in on a passport.
Yeah. They could become a Canadian citizenship, and then they could run for president.
Pass the legislation that I've introduced that suspends...
I like how PolitiFact put that up as mostly false, even though we have three agency heads saying that they don't have the data to properly vet in congressional testimony. And they're going to go,
right.
Yeah, it's mostly false.
Mostly false. So they can't completely rule it out.
Yeah.
If I am elected president, we will not let in refugees from countries controlled by ISIS or Al-Qaeda. And when it comes to...
It's like a Princess Bride. He's mostly dead.
We will utterly and completely destroy ISIS.
Yeah, we'll stop.
Except for all the lone wolves in the country. That's why we need the NSA ramp it back up.
Well, first of all, recognize it is a substantial problem, but like all of our problems, there isn't a single one that can't be solved, that cannot be solved with common sense if you remove the ego and the politics. And clearly what we need to do is get a group of experts together, including people from other countries, some of our friends from Israel, who've had experience screening these people and come up with some new guidelines for...
I talk with my hands, too.
Isn't this the same answer he gave before about... Let's get the experts together, let's have them have consensus, and then I'll let them do whatever they want.
Right.
I'll give them a blank check.
I mean, it's like everyone expects candidate to know everything, and obviously they all have advisors, but he is clearly well, you know, we got to advisors for these things.
Listen to our politicians.
So it should be clear, the both of you do not agree with Mr.
So are we going to ban Muslims from India, from Indonesia, from countries that are strong allies?
That's not our...
No, Jeb, you're going to bring everybody in. You want everyone to come into this country. Why don't you go live in Indonesia, Jeb?
If they
want to
ban...
Maybe Barack Obama can go back there.
Japan is. Japan does not allow...
That's right.
I mean...
That's right.
But that's their country. They can decide what they want to do.
Military. We need to arm the Kurds directly. We need to reestablish the relationships with the Sunnis. And we need war everywhere. And immigrants.
When he's talking about arm the Kurds, you know, that very famous video of the airdrop grenades to ISIS, that was a shipment to the Kurds, supposedly.
Yeah.
To the Kurds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Governor.
Right.
The Little Miss Muppet airdrop.
Yeah.
And you have to dial them back. Last week, the New York Times editorial board quoted you as saying that you would impose up to a 45% tariff on Chinese goods.
And that's wrong. They were wrong. It's the New York Times. They're always wrong.
Ted's going to use that in terms of the report about
New York. Yeah, they're always wrong.
They don't like to tell us, but they have total control just about of North Korea. They can solve the problem of North Korea if they wanted to. But they taunt us. They say, well, we don't really have control. Without China, North Korea doesn't even eat. China is ripping us on trade. They're devaluing their
That's true. You know, I saw that on Team America.
Thousands and thousands. You look at the number of companies and the number in terms of manufacturing and plants that we've lost, 50,000 because of China.
So now, you never advocated putting a tariff on
We've lost anywhere between 4 and 7 million jobs because of China. What I said this, we have very unfair...
I don't know where they're made. I bought them at Burlington Goat Factory.
$5 billion this year with China.
But, you know, he's a business.
Because they devalue their
mad about that, getting that deal on those ties.
Is that we have great power, economic...
No, he's a businessman. He, you know, he's the perfect candidate. He's an entertainer as well as a businessman. I was talking to somebody, I think we were talking about that at lunch. Some of these candidates or, you know, politicians throughout history, they're lawyers or they're some type of entertainer. And they transition into that role and they do quite well because of that experience.
Which is why Barack Obama's cannot wait until he can be a sports commentator or...
Well, hell, I wish you'd go
late night talk show
host. ESPN right now. We could just coast for the next few months until the election.
I wish I could just let him go play golf or whatever. It's just going to cost us billions of dollars if he takes the rest of the year off on paid vacation.
Well, it's not that complicated.
I mean, he can say anything about paid vacation. He can retire right now and go do what he wants to do.
He's not going to do that when we taxpayers pay millions to go play golf.
Are you open to slapping a higher tariff on Chinese goods of any sort to go back at them?
Okay. Let's go to Darren McBreen in the Twitter booth. Darren.
Well, I was going to say Donald Trump might be a good politician now. We know he's a good businessman and a good entertainer. But can he dance like Ted Cruz? Is that, I mean, he is seriously busting a move right there. That's pretty good.
That is good. Ooh. Very
lottery. Is that the Goldman Sachs Christmas party?
Lottery.
Yeah, the Goldman Sachs Christmas party.
The rhythm there in that cruise.
Now that's entertainment.
Anything interesting on Twitter, McBreen?
Hey, I'm resorting to this, so you know what I mean? There's I mean, Rand Paul, though, I mean, he's up there. He's the talk of the town right now, so... Mm-hmm.
Rand is he Paul's still trending on Twitter?
He's not even at the debate right now, and he's getting all kinds of attention on Twitter, so that's good news.
Very smart move for him.
Yep.
Glad it worked out for him.
Yeah.
I'm a free trader.
One of the things I think is interesting is I'm looking at this stuff. If I'm not mistaken, what Neil Cavuto is doing, along with the New York Times, is saying, you're saying you're going to put a 45% tax on China, and I think Donald Trump is saying, look, they manipulate their currency. Currency manipulation is part of the China price, along with things like stealing copyrights and, you know, imitating that. So what he's saying is if they're going to manipulate their currency, he says, and they're just about 45% of their competitive advantage, then we're going to do the same thing in terms of a tax. So then New York Times says a 45% tax. So I agree with what Donald Trump is saying on this.
Interesting.
There is no equal trade between us and China. And, of course, that was created by people like Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon, essentially. But set up China to take our jobs, to move the economy to a communist oligarchy like that so they could control it.
Coming out of North Korea so they don't proliferate all this dangerous material. But what he's talking about, I think, has got merit. And I'm not putting that tariff or whatever he's saying here, but here's what I am saying.
I'm liking him
for
tonight.
For too long, what happens is somebody dumps their product in our country. And takes our people's
operating that camera.
And then we go to an international court. And it takes them like a year or two to...
It seems like it's on the stage bouncing with him.
The workers... No, see, here's the deal, though. You know, they always talk about what they talked about 4 years ago, 8 years ago. They're not talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Transatlantic Partnership. Why won't they talk about what was coming up? And they ought to ask that to Rand Paul, because he's been unfairly labeled as somebody who supported that, and he did not. He voted against, actually, that hasn't come up for a vote yet, but essentially it was passed when they passed the Trade Promotion Authority to bypass the constitutional requirements for creating a treaty, and these things are treaties. We understand they're treaties. The North American Trade Agreement, NAFTA, was a treaty, and the people who operate that now, they specialize in treaty law. They call it a treaty. So the TPP and the TTIP, those are treaties, and Rand Paul voted against the Trade Promotion Authority, which streamlined that process.
I think we need to be very careful.
But they do need to talk about, if they're going to talk about trade, how can they not talk about that?
And if anybody wants to participate out there at Real Alex Jones, we have a poll. Who do you think is winning tonight's debate so far? Trump, Bush, Cruz, Rubio.
No. Or send us your Twitter
questions too.
Yeah. No Rand Paul.
No, I think he's winning in his own way.
Which means reversing course.
Or send us your questions on Real Alex Jones.
It begins with tax
rate. Hashtag GOP debate.
Have the most expensive business tax rate in the world. Let's allow companies to immediately expense. It continues with regulatory reform. Regulations in this country are out of control, especially the Employment Prevention Agency, the EPA, and all of the rules.
So they won't talk about the root cause of that. And again, Rand Paul did talk about that. He's offered the RAINS Act to essentially rein in the bureaucracies that have no checks on them, on their activity. So the bureaucracies go out and create, on average, about 80,000 pages of new regulations every year. How are you going to contain that? I mean, you can't contain that as long as we allow, as long as Congress has abdicated its duty to pass legislation to these perpetual bureaucracies. I mean, you talk about the Supreme Court having lifetime tenure. Look, these people who work in these bureaucracies all have lifetime tenure. There's no way to remove them. They got union protection. So, you know, even when they commit crimes like blowing up gold mines and polluting the river that runs through three states and an Indian reservation, nobody loses their job. I mean, they have lifetime tenure. They pass the regulations. They pass the taxes. They accuse you of violations. They impose excessive fines. They do it without due process, calling it a civil fine. How do you control that? Well, the only person who's talked about that is Rand Paul in terms of the RAINS Act. You can say, well, we need to have some reform. Baloney. You need to gut this system that has evolved here outside of the Constitution.
On consumers and people who are living paycheck to paycheck, apart from that, there'll be retaliation.
Yeah.
So the soybean sales from Iowa, entire soybean production goes, the equivalent of it goes to China. Or how about Boeing right here within a mile? Do you think that the Chinese, if they had a 45% tariff imposed on all their imports, wouldn't retaliate and start buying Airbus? Of course they would. This would be
so
devastating.
Jeb is giving us, he says, look, you're going to destroy the profits of Archer Daniel Midland. You're going to destroy the profits of Boeing if we have trade tariffs here. But see, the thing is, it's not even about that. It's not even about free trade versus some protectionism. What this is fundamentally about, which is what they're not going to talk about, is that the TPP and the TTIP are about changing our sovereignty, about concentrating power, about taking over control of the internet, consolidating everything into a global government. And they do it under the beard of this back-and-forth debate about free trade versus protected trade.
And it looks like we have a couple questions from Altair underscore 2015 Twitch. Do you think Republicans will actually come up with a plan to defeat ISIS? I think they maybe want to defeat them by funding them. I don't know.
I don't think so, since they created them. I don't.
Yeah, their plan is to keep funding the military-industrial complex, which in hand continues to fund groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Meanwhile, the only person I really consistently hear talk about stop funding ISIS is that we always keep talking about is Rand Paul.
Right.
So of course it sounds like Rand Paul has somewhat of a plan. Everybody else, not so much.
And his other one is, do you think a Republican-led Congress would support a Trump presidency? My take is no, probably not.
I can't say that. I mean, he's a very popular guy, but I don't think the Republicans feel they can control him the way they'd like to.
I think 4 years of gridlock would be awesome.
Yeah, I do too.
Four more years.
The question is, you know, look, there's a few good, just like Richard was pointing out, you had 168 people on the RNC committee, and only four of them had the integrity to call Barack Obama and say we're going to impeach him for doing things orders of magnitude worse than what Richard Nixon did in terms of the scope and scale of what he did with the IRS abuses alone. He should have been impeached. But only four people out of 168 had the integrity to do that. We have some good people in Congress, but for the most part, the people who are leading and running Congress are no different from the Democrats. And Democrats and Republicans need to understand there is a single party in Washington, and it is controlled by big business.
And it really makes me think, David, as you bring up that story about Tricky Dick. You know, people, they have this very infamous view of Richard Nixon, which, you know, is not inaccurate. But you look at the things he's doing as opposed to our more recent presidents who have done way worse things and caught doing it. And it's like, oh, that's just the way politics works.
Right.
You know, they completely polarize the Tricky Dick, but they don't want to dare call out Bush or Clinton or Obama.
Well, I think we just have been so inundated with corruption visually in all of our movies and television. This, we're almost numb to corruption, whereas back then it was, you know, a pretty big deal.
And it was also a personality issue. I got to tell you, you know, even in the stiff, awkward 1960s, Richard Nixon set new standards for stiff awkwardness. Okay. I mean, he was about as bad as they. And at least, you know, Barack Obama doesn't come across that way. So a lot of people who are just
low
information voters
guy.
Don't pay much attention to it. They're going to a break. We're going to do a break as well. We'll be right back with more live commentary and analysis of the 6th GOP debate.
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new, groundbreaking, gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
Of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
Welcome back to live InfoWars coverage of the 6th GOP debate. Amazingly enough, they're asking Chris Christie a question about bridges. Not about blocking them, about building them. They said 11% of the bridges here in South Carolina need to be rebuilt. How are you going to fix this $3.6 trillion worth of infrastructure that we need to do? So here's what he has to say.
Repatriation of that money, bring the money, the $2 trillion, back to the United States. We'll tax it that one time at 8.75%.
He's going to tax the rich. Told you he was a Democrat. He says we're going to repatriate money back to the United States and tax it and so forth and so on. Yeah, good luck with that. Big corporations don't pay taxes. They go to Washington and get taxes put on their competition.
I'm curious what his definition
is. And here's the reality. There's the article right there.
And it would rebuild those
Cancel's largest infrastructure project in the U.S.
Yeah.
Wow, you guys have been really good with these articles tonight.
Yeah, that's good.
Everything he says, just hitting him with truth right away.
That's a great question.
Mostly false.
He canceled the largest infrastructure project in the U.S. He blocked a bridge to punish his political opponents. So let's ask him a question about bridges and infrastructure.
Here's our two article mavens. I'll give you guys a quick look. Carmen and Matt.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's great.
And then Dari's over there running the Skype.
Good
job, crew.
We don't need to raise taxes to get this done. We need to make the government run smarter and better and reform this corporate tax system, bring that money back to the United States to build jobs.
You don't want to be, you're one that shall not be named.
We need to use to protect our grid from terrorists. All of those things are important, and all those things would happen in the Christie administration.
Thank you, sir.
Christie administration. Ain't
Christie uncomfortable to hear.
He just says that to himself in the mirror in the morning.
Overseas right now. Yeah. What he's running for is he wants a position in the administration.
Several companies right now are pursuing mergers to move their corporate headquarters abroad and take lower taxes. What will you do to stop the?
It ain't just taxes. Building
cash. I'll consult some experts, and then I will do what they say.
Well, I would suggest a fair tax system, and that's what we have proposed: a flat tax. For everybody, no exemptions, no deductions, no shelters, because some people have a better capability of taking advantage of those things than others.
How about flat tax rate of zero?
Yeah.
Spending so much money.
I'll mention that. I do this every debate. My mother taught me this. Harry Brown's proposal. How far back would you have to go so that you could completely eliminate the personal income tax? Right now it's 2004. Okay. Could we live with a government that was the size it was in 2004?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Would we have a competitive advantage to other countries? Yes. Yes, but we won't do that.
No, they've been working too hard on growing their little baby.
Make it absolutely fair and get rid of all of the incredible regulations, because every regulation is a tax. It's a on goods and services.
We had 81,000 pages of them last year, a record number, by our unelected, unaccountable bureaucracy that stays there for a lifetime.
Because of regulations, a poor person notices that, a rich person does not. Middle class may notice it when they get to the cash register, and everything is costing more money. And we are killing our people like this. And Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton will say it's those evil rich people. It's not the evil rich people. It's the evil government that is putting all these regulations on us so that we can't.
Here's Ben Carson's new political picture. I think that's his Twitter picture.
Just now, it's called corporate inversion.
What is he patron saint of, Rob?
Right now, corporations by
he's the patron saint, I think, of forced vaccination and hand gestures.
Leave them behind. They're leaving because of taxes, but they're also leaving because they can't get their money back in. And everybody agrees, Democrats and Republicans, that it should come back in, but they can't get along. They can't even make a deal. Here's a case. They both agree. They can't make a deal. We have to do something. Corporate inversion is one of the biggest problems we have. So many companies are going to leave our country.
Which is why we raise it. Senator Rubio, thank you, Mr. Trump.
Thank you.
One of the biggest fiscal challenges facing our country is our entitlement programs, particularly Social Security and Medicare. What policies will you put forward to make sure these programs...
I think our welfare system is...
Corporate welfare.
...problem.
And I want to thank you for holding a substantive debate where we can have debates about these key issues on taxes. Here's the one thing I'm not going to do. I'm not going to have something that Ted described in his tax plan. It's called a value-added tax. It is a tax you find in many companies in Europe, where basically businesses now will have to pay a tax both on the money they make but they also have to pay taxes on the money they pay their employees. And that's why they have it in Europe, because it's a way to blindfold the people. That's what Ronald Reagan said. Ronald Reagan opposed the VAT tax because he said it was a way to blindfold the people so the true cost of government was not there for them. Now you can.
We do that with the Federal Reserve. We borrow money so that the true cost of government doesn't show up to us. In Europe, they do a VAT.
Income tax, but also raising that VAT tax.
We can have both.
VAT tax is really bad for seniors. Because seniors, if they are retired, are no longer earning an income from a job. And therefore, they don't get the income tax break. But their prices are going to be higher because the VAT tax is embedded in both the prices that business...
You know, I just saw an article the other day how a record number of retirees are re-entering the workforce. Of course, taking, you know, little McDonald's-type jobs. But, you know, it's pretty much the state of where the things are in this country.
They will have to if these guys cut their Social Security benefits.
Right.
And he's absolutely right about the VAT tax. So VAT tax is a horrible idea. Let's see him defend that. Maybe he'll be as dishonest about that as he is a natural-born citizen.
VAT is imposed as a sales tax when you buy a good. This is a business flat tax. It is imposed on businesses. And a critical piece that Marco seems to be missing is that this 16% business flat tax enables us to eliminate the corporate income tax. It goes away. It enables us to eliminate the death tax. If you're a farmer, if you're a rancher, if you're a small business owner, the death tax is gone. We eliminate the payroll tax. We eliminate the Obamacare taxes. And listen, there's a real difference between Marco's tax plan and mine. Mine gives every American a simple flat tax of 10%. Marco's top tax rate is 35%. My tax plan...
Here we go. We're back to the... Okay, I'm going to tax this percentage in these brackets and so forth and so on. I'm going to have a flat tax or a...
But we're going to leave the state tax and the property tax and the county tax and the sales tax and every other tax we can tax on you tax.
And again, you know, what they could do is they could go back to 2004 and just go to zero on the personal income tax, but they won't do that.
That my simple flat tax is the best tax plan of any of the individuals on this stage because it produces economic growth, it raises wages, and it helps.
I hope they don't go into this thing again where they start with the rates and comparing each other's plans.
999.
Yeah, 999. Yeah, as in the German 999. Do not do this again.
Number two, in fact, Ronald Reagan's treasury, when Ronald Reagan's treasury...
Geez, I think that's like the fifth time you said Ronald Reagan, 2 minutes.
20,000 new IRS agents to collect it. The second point, it doesn't eliminate the corporate tax or the payroll tax. Businesses will now have to pay 16% on the money they make. They will also have to pay 16% on the money they pay their employees. So there are people watching tonight in business. If you are now hit on a 60% tax on both your income and on the wages you pay your employees, where are you going to get that money from? You're going to...
Oh, just about 15 more minutes there, Melissa McEwen. Listen, how much longer this garbage nightmare is going to last?
Right there with you, sister.
So they cannot see the true cost of government. Now, 16% is what the rate Ted wants it at.
So, you know, what really hides the true cost of government is the Federal Reserve. And now to criticize Ted Cruz for saying he doesn't even want to know what the Federal Reserve is doing. I mean, why wouldn't you want to even
audit them? I don't know what they're doing in there. Why would I
want to
know?
Exactly. Why would you want to audit them? This private corporation.
Everything the government likes to get their hands in, but they don't want to get their hands in that. I mean,
yeah.
This debate on the floor of the Senate to actually answer the question you asked.
That's really where the smoke and mirrors occurs, and that's why we focus on the Federal Reserve, is because that's what enables these people to do what state governments can't do. And that is to just ignore the deficit each year, just keep adding it to the debt.
That no one wants to answer entitlements up here is because it's hard. It's a hard problem. And I'm the only one up on this stage who back in April put forward a detailed entitlement reform plan that will save over $1 trillion, save Social Security, save Medicare, and avoid this. Avoid what Hillary Rodham Clinton will do to you, because what she will do is come in and she will raise Social Security taxes. Bernie Sanders has already said it, and she is just one or two more poll drops down from even moving further left than she's moved already to get to the left of Bernie on this. We have seniors out there who are scared to death because this Congress, this one...
My entire life, They've been holding Social Security over the heads of seniors and saying the other party is going to cut off your money. And simple fact of the matter is that Social Security has always been designed as a Ponzi scheme. They picked the age of 65 when it was done in Germany for the first time. Bismarck knew that was the life expectancy. It has always been a lie. Now that people are living longer, they want to raise the age so they don't have to pay you the money.
Mm-hmm.
And the simple fact of the matter is that, yeah, there's a part of Social Security that is an entitlement program, that is a welfare program, but for the people that have paid 7.62%, and the employer has had a matching thing, so you're 15.2 whatever, of your wages going into that your entire life, for them not to give you that back at the end of your life and say, well, because we mean tested it, means tested it, and you don't need it. That's what Chris Christie wants to do. That is an absolute outrage.
Right.
It's nothing but just theft by the federal government. But, of course, that's what they specialize in. They're taking a quick break. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back here with more live coverage from InfoWars, live analysis and commentary of this sixth GOP debate. We'll be right back.
Clean, pure drinking water. You can't survive without it. But where do you get it? Alexa Pure Pro is a brand new groundbreaking gravity-fed water filtration system that is like no other. The Alexa Pure Pro transforms water from virtually any fresh source into clean, healthy drinking water, pairing the unprecedented superfiltration power of an all-new gravity block core with a hybrid chromatic shell. It removes up to 99.999% of impurities, including bacteria, viruses, fluoride, disinfectants, volatile organic contaminants, and hormones. Filter capacity up to 5,000 gallons. Stainless steel construction. Easy assembly. Low maintenance. Replacement filters are simple to install. And now, as part of an exclusive limited-time introductory offer, you can save $20 off the retail price and get free shipping. This is a limited-time offer, so order your unit today and receive free shipping and $20 off. Go to InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139.
It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. The owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right.
Welcome back to InfoWars live coverage of the sixth GOP debate. They just came back from break, and they're asking Donald Trump about his vast wealth. Will he disentangle himself from that? Here's his answer.
About my company. It's peanuts. I want to make, I want to use that same up here, whatever it may be, to make America rich again and to make America great again. I have Ivanka and Eric and Don sitting there. Run the company, kids. Have a good time. I'm going to do it for America.
Yep.
So you'll put your assets in a blind trust?
I would put it in a blind trust. Well, I don't know if it's a blind trust if Ivanka, Don, and Eric run it, but is that a blind trust? I don't know. But I would probably have my children run it with my executives, and I wouldn't ever be involved because I wouldn't care about anything but our country. Anything.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Governor Christie, going back...
Why would you ask that question? I don't understand.
You have been praised.
Of course, they're not going to ask anybody, as we were saying during the break, they're not going to ask anybody about whether Ed Snowden is a traitor or not, because they would all agree with that. And as we said, they could probably go down the line and they could debate as to what punishment. You know, should he be hung or electrified or shot or water tortured for 14 years at Gitmo?
Former NYC police chief Ray Kelly says that police are being less proactive because they're being overly scrutinized and second-guessed, and they're afraid of being sued or thrown in jail. What would you do as president to address that?
Well, first off, let's face it. The FBI director, Jim Comey, who's a friend of mine who I worked with as U.S. attorney.
Name dropping.
He was the U.S. attorney in Manhattan. He said it. There's a chill wind blowing through law enforcement in this country, and here's why. The president of the United States and...
Well, the issue is, because we always hear that if you're the private citizen and you're driving your vehicle and you get pulled over and you don't know why, if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to worry about. But time and time again, we see these things escalate, you know, into epic proportions. But for the same thing with law enforcement, if the law enforcement officer is not doing anything wrong, he shouldn't have any fear about going about his day-to-day business and enforcing the laws of the land.
Jakari, the reason there's a chill wind blowing through law enforcement right now that Chris Christie is talking about is because we have phones that can record what they're doing. Always in the past, it was the word of the victim versus law enforcement. And as you were on that jury selection thing, they ask you a question. Do you believe that an officer in uniform could lie? And, of course, if you say, yeah, I believe they
would. Would you believe his testimony
just because
he's
a
police officer?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, if you say, yeah, I think it's possible for somebody, even though they're wearing a uniform, to tell a lie, you're dismissed.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, we don't need you for jury duty. Thank you.
And understand, too, that law enforcement is interacting in a very, very different way. We pointed this out many times, a very different way with the public than they have in the past. They have been taught to shoot first. And in places where this has been the worst, like New Mexico, at the State Police Academy, a veteran there, a veteran instructor said, this is a shoot first curriculum. I'm not going to teach it. They said, fine, you're fired. I mean, they have changed this, and it is a federalization of the police.
Uh-oh.
Here we got a demonstration.
There was a little bit of...
protesting Kasich?
It sounded like they were saying...
You've had to deal with controversial shootings in your own state. What do you make of Chicago's move recently to sort of retrain police?
Sounded like they're saying stand with Rand, but...
Not so quick to use their guns.
Well, I created a task force well over a year ago. And the purpose was to bring law enforcement, community people, clergy, and the person that I named is
clergy response force.
Lady by the name of
and we know what that's about.
Democrat ran against one of my friends, and our head of public safety. And they sat down as a group, trying to make sure that we can begin to heal some of these problems that we see between community and police. And they came back with 23 recommendations. One of them is a statewide use of deadly force, and it is now being put into place every place across the state of Ohio. Secondly, a policy on recruiting and...
Wasn't it Ohio where they just shot that kid who had the BB gun? Was that in Ohio?
For training.
Oh, Tamir Rice.
Let me also tell you one of the issues...
Yeah, a lot of those things.
I can't keep them straight.
Yeah, it's
right. But yeah, that was in Ohio.
Police officer wants to get home at night. And,
you know, along those lines, you know, you could, I mean, that was pretty outrageous that the guy just pulls the car up, jumps out, shoots that young kid dead, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But then, subsequent to that, you've now had a situation where a guy who was on patrol, parole, had a BB gun, and they have gone against him for a violation of parole, saying he's got a gun.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What are you going to say, Rob?
Wow.
State. And we just got a word that "We Want Rand" was chanted. That's what we heard.
Good.
Yeah.
Mikhail came in. He was has the debate on also on another TV, and that's what they were chanting. And I think there's even some tweets about it right now.
We want Rand. Up one second. Yeah. And of course, Fox would not respond to that.
They were like, "Oh, okay."
The name that will not be mentioned.
Balderdash.
Passed the budget that paid down a half.
But of course, he has no poll support whatsoever. So we got to kick him out of the debate and put in the Ohio governor.
And that
or Jeb Bush.
That is just such a rigged process. I mean, the fact that Bloomberg and Fox would connive to withhold the reporting of those results of that poll. Again, three polls finishing on Sunday. One of them was embargoed and took for 36 hours. It was a Bloomberg poll, and Fox says, yeah, we're not going to count that. And he would have been equal to Jeb.
Then the entire population of South Carolina.
What's that?
The CBO says your 2013 immigration.
Okay, good. Let's go to Joe Biggs. He's in South Carolina right outside where the debate is being held, and he has somebody there. Joe.
Right, so this is Joe Biggs live outside of the North Charleston Coliseum where the GOP debate is just now finishing up, and I'm with, what's her name?
Kylie Arena.
And why are you guys out here tonight?
We're out here trying to stop the spreading of hatred. We're very against Trump and everything that he said about all people, and we're here supporting all people and all lives. So
so what is it you don't like about
Donald
ISIS?
Trump?
That he's racist and sexist. Basically, he's a bigot, and we don't agree with that at all.
Do you agree if he's done microaggression?
Uh-oh.
Because she's definitely not feminist. She's supports her husband, who has been involved in many sex scandals, and also is involved in hiding that.
That's why I'm not very political. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, though, doesn't bash races like how Trump has, like so openly. Trump, like Muslim attacks that happen more often in this country. There are a lot of like high schools that are being like children being attacked because of what he said about them.
Well, you know, in Saudi Arabia, they behead people, they degrade women, they kill them, and she takes money from Saudi Arabia.
We're not Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Right. So why do we want it to be like that?
She is doing the same thing.
I don't support.
Yeah, Joe. I don't think logic's going to work with her.
Yeah, signals.
No, I haven't followed her much, but I followed everything that Trump has said, and we're very, very, very much against him. So we're here trying to.
So what is the name of your group?
We don't have a group right now. We're just in the College of Charleston. We organize people to come rally for like against Trump that had the same motives that way. So a lot of people here are anti-government. So and I'm not associated with them.
Yeah, let's talk to the anti-government people. Those are the ones I want to hear from. Again, that's Joe Biggs talking to a low-information protester.
Go ahead, Joe. Signal's a little bad.
Hey, Joe, if you can still hear me, they just had some people say stand with Rand or something about Rand as a protest, their chant. If they throw them out as they're leaving, see if you can interview those people. Maybe those are the anti-government people she was talking about.
Yeah, well, I saw the Rand Paul group. Like I said, in a large number. And they were standing right in front of the Coliseum, actually, David. And the police immediately, within, I'd say, minute and a half, made them leave around the backside of the Coliseum. And at that point in time, they were like, you know what? Screw this. So they calmed down, and I guess these are the guys that are probably inside.
Could be.
You know, so we'll try to talk to them when they come out.
They got to get them corralled into their First Amendment area like they did the people at the Bundy Ranch.
Yeah, they actually did that. They set up over there, was kind of ignored it and stayed clear of it.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I didn't see Chris Christie say.
All right, well, you're kind of breaking up a little bit there. We're going to go back to the debate. This is a question from Ted Cruz here, talking about how awful Barack Obama is. Surprise.
We need to secure the borders, and at the same time,
closing statements.
Barack Obama more authority to allow Middle Eastern refugees coming in when the head of the FBI tells us they cannot vet them to determine if they are ISIS terrorists.
Maria, let me clear something up here. This is an interesting point.
Okay. Talk about who is for immigration? Well, we know.
Yeah, let's get to, let's ask at the very end when.
Here we got the two guys.
Turned off the snooze fest.
Two guys, neither of which are qualified under the Constitution to be president because of citizenship requirements, debating immigration. How's that firing?
Now you say you're against it. You used to say you're a birthright citizenship. Now you say that you are against it.
And we need an H-1B visa program for president. I'm serious.
We don't have enough qualified candidates here that want the job, so we need to bring in foreigners.
I'm sure we could find somebody in Cuba better than either of these two guys with an H-1B visa, don't you think? Do I find somebody who's suffered under Castro for decades and really wants freedom and have them run instead of these two clowns?
Right. They'll understand that they don't want to live under a tyranny.
Like Lily Tang in China.
Exactly. Lily Tang, the libertarian. What state is she in?
I believe she's in Colorado.
That's right, Colorado.
Colorado. Lily Tang Williams. We've had her on the show.
If you're in Colorado, vote for Lily Tang. That's a definite
endorsement. She lives under tyranny.
She knows
what
it's like.
Probably listen to her when she recognizes it.
Yes. The only budget you have ever voted for. She can smell it a mile away.
The Senate is a budget from Rand Paul that brags about how it cuts defense. Here's the bottom line, and I'll close with this. If I'm president of the United States and Congress tries to cut the military...
Rand should be tweeting about this. I just mentioned Rand Paul.
Yeah, he can respond.
You know, we should never, ever cut a dime from the defense budget, right? And to just... And make it clear, I mean, look at how many wars we're fighting right now. I mean, that just...
we need that money.
We started at least six wars.
Well, I mean, like, as they keep saying, our military is so weak and wimpy. I mean, I don't know how we're going to defend ourselves against anybody with the largest military and... You know, planet's history.
Well, the thing that's really frightening is the fact that now we have these terror attacks coming to American soil. We have people, you know, getting radicalized on the internet and planning to do attacks here on U.S. soil. So now they're going to have military stationed here to protect us. So, I mean, it's everywhere. And that's really frightening to me.
Mm-hmm.
12 million illegals. I opposed and oppose legalization and citizenship. And by the way, the attack he keeps throwing out on the military budget.
He opposes citizenship. Well, see, that's why he's the Canadian who opposes citizenship.
$697 billion. What he said, and he said it in the last debate, it's simply not true. And as president, I will
and keep
this country. All right, we have to stop. I know you have very passionate about that. Governor Bush, fears have gripped this country, obviously, and you touched on earlier, since the San Bernardino attacks. Since our last debate, the national conversation has changed, according to Facebook data as well. Now, this first graphic shows the issues that were most talked about right before those attacks and now after. The issues of Islam,
right.
Security and ISIS, now
government ethics.
The FBI are using social media.
And that's exactly why they ramp up that fear, so people stop paying attention.
Yeah, let's not talk
all
about
the
ethics.
Real things.
Talk about Islam, yeah.
Talk about the boogeyman.
It's private, period. Do you agree, or would you try to convince him otherwise?
I would try to convince him otherwise, but this last back and forth between two backbench senators, you know, it explains why we have the mess in Washington, D.C. We need a president that will fix our immigration laws and stick with it.
Wait a minute. Tell us about...
And that's not you, Jeb.
Yeah. Okay, they ask him if he wants to outlaw privacy.
So that we,
okay, because that's what we're talking about here. When he mentioned the Tim Cook issue, they want a backdoor into everything. They want to be able to hack everybody's communication, listen to everything that we have without a warrant. And so, yeah, let's talk about what was just said before. I don't want to get into that.
You don't mind.
So Tim Cook is going to keep it private.
I got that. And the problem today.
Hang on, I want to hear what he has to say about privacy here.
D.C. There needs to be more than just one meeting. There needs to be complete dialogue with the large technology companies.
So that's how we determine what our Constitution says. We get with the large corporations and the CEOs, and they hash it out between the multinational corporations and the people that they bought, and they decide what our liberties are.
Right, and we
thank
go
you,
to...
Jeb.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's the Jeb Bush and the George W. Bush model and the Barack Obama model.
These guys are complaining because Apple has put in some technology and makes it a little more difficult for police to get your information, which I have no issue with. You know, of course, I'm not, you know, 100% trusted in Apple, but what's the issue with that? Why can't people have their privacy?
And now the whole thing is going into Silicon Valley and getting the tech companies to work with the government. And that story I told you today, how the internet was going to break ties with the government.
You have the government who just had the personnel files of everybody that works for it exposed.
Right.
And now they say, oh, you know, you can trust us with your private information. And look, whenever you're dealing on the internet, you may not be using PGP for your email or whatever, but you're still encrypted. Whenever you're buying anything on the internet, it's being sent encrypted. Okay. You break that. You know, you're going to be exposed to losses, and there's a lot of fraud that's going on. We need to have more encryption. We need to have more privacy. We need to have more security. Those are good things for us to have. He wants only the government to have security, only the government to have safety. And they're going to do that by taking away your security, taking away your financial safety, taking away your privacy, your liberty, because he's going to meet with the CEOs of these multinational corporations and hash that out.
Right.
You know, not consult the Constitution. Let's go to Richard Reeves at in South Carolina. Richard.
Hey, David. Thank you for handing the ball off to me. And earlier, you know, we had these protesters that were right by the Coliseum doors. I know Joe Biggs was on there when they were there, and we had an interview with one of the young ladies. And what was interesting about that was I was super curious about, okay, earlier all the protesters or any demonstrators, even some of the people that were for some of the debate candidates were sent back. They were sent back to the the free speech zone, which was out of the way, out in behind the Coliseum practically. And then so I went and asked the police captain while Joe Biggs was being interviewed by you guys. I asked the police captain, why are these guys allowed up front here and not sent to the free speech zone? And he says, well, people don't have to go to the free speech zone if they don't want to. So how about that?
Yeah, they can just shut up, right?
Right.
And of course, you're being photobombed by some low information protesters.
I would love to find out if that person holding the anarchy flag is feeling the burn. Can we just find out if that person?
Yeah, you got somebody holding up an anarchy flag behind you. Another one holding up, don't believe the liberal media. I guess they think we're the liberal media.
and the young people earlier basically said they're pretty much kind of against government. Period. Anarchist and pretty much low information, except that they follow Trump intensely.
Yeah.
So
that's
pretty interesting how they're selectively, intensively following certain people within the government. And
they feeling the burn? Are they voting for Bernie? Because I mean, that's like the anarchists or these fake anarchists. They think Bernie is the answer, but he's like massive government.
Hey, well, some of them might be, but they weren't willing to admit to it right now.
They're gone, but you got somebody standing right behind you who says, don't believe the liberal media. Ask them if they think you're the liberal media.
Okay. All right. Yeah, come on in. Do you think we're the liberal media?
We're just here getting our message across.
Yeah, come on in the shot here.
Who does he think the liberal media is?
Yeah, who do you think the liberal media is?
Oh, we're just here promoting the Media Research Center. Our mission is just to point out bias in the media, and liberal media can be whoever you want it to be.
Okay. So, some networks or some personalities that you think are the liberal media.
I'd rather not say that. Like I said, be whoever you want to be, because everybody's
definitely don't ask me a question, bro.
It varies from person to person. So, if you think some people may think
Fox News
is liberal, some people may think CNN, MSNBC, any other networks out there.
Okay. Is there any media that you would consider to be on target with how they report the news?
Well, we cover everybody. Our job is to point out bias in the media, so we watch everybody from the local networks to ESPN. I mean, we cover all spectrums of the media, just pointing
ESPN.
Out liberal bias, conservative bias, all bias in the media is what we're.
Hey, well, you know what?
Ask him if he's heard of InfoWars. Ask him if he's heard of InfoWars. Ask him if he's heard of
us. Do you ever listen to InfoWars?
I have listened to you guys several times, and I've actually seen you covered media MRC articles. So it's a good organization.
Thanks.
All right. Okay, so are we in that batch with the liberal media, or what do you consider InfoWars?
I don't have that. That's above my pay grade to say where you guys fall, but we do appreciate the work you guys do. Like I said, you've covered many of our articles that we've written and covered on topics like that.
Okay, well, since you kind of like InfoWars, then your pay grade should go up, I think.
Thank you.
Okay,
that's good.
All right, there we go.
That's good. Thanks, Richard.
So give the man a raise. He likes InfoWars, at least.
Yeah, that's right.
He couldn't name ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, but, hey, at least he liked InfoWars.
That's good.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good.
All right, thanks, Richard. We're going to go back. They've started the debate again, and we've got John Kasich talking about hammers and screwdrivers at the Pentagon. All right, thanks.
Okay.
That's a change, isn't it? Thank you, Richard.
That's who I stand up for. That's who's in my mind.
So the Pentagon doesn't even have enough money for hammers and screwdrivers? I don't understand.
Well, he's probably talking about the proverbial $600 hammer that they have at the Pentagon or whatever.
You're the ones that built this country and will carry it into the future. Thank you.
Governor. Oh, finally.
Actually, you know, I mean, there are reasons why they have some highly expensive specialized tools, right? but what they ought to talk about is all the wars that we start that we don't need to be involved in. They don't talk about that. That's why all this stuff about, you know, waste in the Pentagon. Yeah, okay, fine. But it's really the waste of life and the needless undeclared wars that they won't focus on.
Look, there's a highly specialized tool right there.
Talk about what they're going to do. I've done it. I ask for your support to build.
This is their closing statements.
Safer and stronger America.
I like that. Yay. The last statement I've heard from
peace,
Jeb.
Peace through war.
And I earned that.
Great debate tonight. When I think about the folks who are out there at home tonight watching, and I think about what they had to watch this week.
And I think about what they're eating in their dinner.
I'm starving.
The President of the United States, who talked a fantasy land about the way they're feeling. They know that this country is not respected around the world anymore. They know that this country is pushing the middle class, the hardworking taxpayers backwards. And they saw a president who doesn't understand.
Gotta agree. It was a State of the Union address.
And he's just going to smack somebody in the face, you know?
The world has ever known. We need someone to fight.
Just going to smack somebody upside the head.
Yeah.
That's the way Chris Christie is.
I've lived my whole life fighting.
Slap him
silly. For things that I believe in. Fighting for justice and to protect people from crime and terrorism.
He's a fighter.
Fighting to stand
he's going to fight.
For folks who have
he's
not
fighting.
Had
I'm going to slap these people from New Jersey, man.
No, he's going to shoot the Russian jets out the sky like he's duck hunting.
And we're going to make America much more exceptional. It is to make sure we put some.
No, now it's make America exceptional again.
Clinton and make sure she never, ever gets in the White House again. I am the man who can bring us together to do that, and I ask for your vote.
He's going
to
fight her. He's going to fight her. He's going to fight her. He's going to fight ISIS. He's going to fight everybody. You don't believe it, he'll fight
you. He's going to fight the war on drugs himself.
Yeah. Fight the war on obesity.
And angry as they watch our freedom, our security, and the American dream slipping away under an unresponsive government that is populated by bureaucrats and special interest groups. We're not going to solve this problem with traditional politics. The only way we're going to solve this problem is with we the people. And I ask you to join me in truth, in honesty, in integrity. BenCarson.com. We will heal, inspire, and revive America for our children.
But only after your vaccination.
Yes, that's right. And he needs your contributions because he had a guy in charge of his finances paying himself $20,000 a month.
BenCarson.com.
That's why we embraced the enterprise. And it made us the most prosperous people in the history of the world. That's why we embraced individual liberty. And we became the freest people ever. And the result was the American miracle.
But and now all the young people think that's a really bad thing. Hashtag resist capitalism.
Yeah, I mean, it's not so much the young people. Because I get, you know, young high school kids, college kids, they don't really know a whole lot. Just like when we went out to Planned Parenthood, saw those abortion kids. 10 years from now, they could have a whole different ideology.
Right.
Especially like when I see people that are 40 that are feeling the burn. I'm like, you understand what's happening here. Just because he says it's free, it may be free for you to receive it, but somebody had to pay for it. Like, I can give a homeless man a dollar free. I worked for that dollar, but I'm choosing to give him that dollar, and I'm okay with that. I don't want somebody to take it away from me, give it to somebody else, say, oh, it's free.
Right.
You know, Hillary is trying to criticize Bernie Sanders now, and one of the things she's pointing out is that he doesn't have any way to fund his socialist programs. I mean,
right.
Even Hillary is saying that Bernie can't fund his socialism.
Yeah, because who's going to pay?
Socialism, you run out of
money. That's the thing they don't understand. We talk about these kids feeling the burn. It's free, free, free. Yeah, they're going to raise your taxes to pay for
right.
all this free
stuff. Right,
it's like
the people that are going to pay for your free school are the 75% of Americans out there with no college education.
And again, one of the reasons that they can get away with that is because of the Federal Reserve. They don't see the taxes immediately, right? Those taxes get put into the rolled into the deficit, and then we'll all pay them back eventually with interest to the Federal Reserve. But that's the way that they mask and hide this. The smoke in the mirror that they
$150 billion to the Ayatollah Khamenei, who's responsible for murdering hundreds of our servicemen and women.
Khamenei, he started and is ending the debate talking about this. His advisor was like,
I've never heard Ayatollah Khamenei called Khamenei.
No, he's saying it phonetically.
Land on January 2017. If I am elected president to every soldier and sailor and airman and marine and to every police officer.
Oh, that was like Ben Carson pronounced hummus as hummus. Remember that? I guess he didn't get what his advisor was about. How to pronounce hominy. He started out by praising the Navy, and now he finishes up with firefighters.
75 construction workers. They're tough, they're strong, they're great people. Half of them had tears pouring down their face. They were watching the humiliation of our young 10 sailors sitting on the floor with their knees in a begging position, their hands up, and Iranian wise guys having guns to their heads. It was a terrible sight.
Why were we there, though?
And the only reason...
You don't want to ask that question, is because
well, apparently there was an issue with a boat, and it ran ashore, and then...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they were there, but...
Stupid deals anymore.
It isn't like these guys were driving around off the coast of Florida and got captured by Iranians, okay? Let's
right.
put some context in it, okay? Yeah, I understand, you know, but also understand that... Well, you know, Iran had a commercial airliner shot down, quote unquote, by accident by the United States, just as I believe they shot down that flight, was it eight?
Hey guys, we have a pretty interesting question I think is a good way to end this debate here. This is from Will Morgan. I'm going to put it up on screen. How within a controlled media complex can we make a significant alteration to current geopolitical religious narrative? So. Let's start there.
How within the controlled media
complex?
Well, I think Rand Paul was a great example of how you, within the controlled media complex, you can counteract that. He said, screw you, I'm not going to your JV debate, and I'm going to use social media to my benefit, and I'm going to go on the new platform Periscope, and I'm going to go live, answer your questions live, popping up. So he's using social media. And that's sort of the big thing is that they don't know how. They're still trying to figure out how to control the narrative with all of these new platforms popping up. So right there, and Alex Jones says this all the time, make the YouTube channels, start your own broadcast. It doesn't have to be perfect. You can circumvent that narrative that they're putting out there, like Rand Paul did tonight.
And I think that worked because people could see that it was the media controlling it in the case of Rand Paul.
Right.
It's clear what they were doing in terms of manipulating these polls to their purpose and saying, well, we've got these magic numbers and we're not going to look at that data over here, even though it should have been included. So I think that was key, just like it was key for Donald Trump to be able to use social media and get outside of it because he broke the control grid of political correctness and this other stuff, okay? It was him fighting back against this control technique of political correctness, I think, made sense.
Absolutely.
That's right. The mainstream media might be controlled, but you are not. You know what I mean? I mean, because when you think about it, that's why we call them the dinosaur media for a reason. They're experiencing a steep decline. Meanwhile, alternative media news outlets like yours truly, like InfoWars, we are absolutely skyrocketing. We are reaching millions and millions of people, and that scares the hell out of the establishment, but I don't think they could stop it.
No, they
can't. And you think about it, like Instagram, perfect example. There are so many accounts where the people are just making memes, and they've got hundreds of thousands of followers, and they're making political memes and talking about things that are going on in politics, and then people go and they share these pictures. And so even that is a brand new platform. It's reaching hundreds of thousands of people, probably more. And you know, it's Instagram. It's a meme. It's a picture. There's still plenty of ways to circumvent the establishment, and they know that, and that's why they're so afraid and really ramping up their whole agenda to control, to try to get grasp. They're grasping now because they're losing that control.
Yeah. So I guess the best answer to that question is just don't use the mainstream media. Like I said, you have all types of different other platforms. And if you don't want to use the internet ghettos, as Drudge calls them, just make your own website. Make your own whatever. You know, you don't have to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Just whatever works for you and get your message out there the best way you can. Mm-hmm. Alex started on Access TV, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And now he's sitting in this studio. So it just starts with you being ambitious and taking that first step.
And Richard Reeves has a comment on that Twitter question as well. And Richard, we go to Richard in South Carolina.
Okay. Thanks, Rob. Yeah, somebody had the Twitter question about getting busy in the GOP and going to a committee meeting, et cetera. Well, one of the best things to do right now, depending on your state. First of all, you need to find out the schedule of your state for its primary or caucus, whichever it has first. You want to be darn sure and be registered to vote, first of all, because they're not going to let you even attend a precinct convention or a caucus unless you're registered. So make sure you're registered to vote. Go vote. Go to your precinct convention and or caucus, whichever they have. You're going to find people that know the system that are friendly to the Ron Paul Freedom Movement, the InfoWarrior Movement. So you need to connect with those folks. You'll probably be able to identify them pretty quickly. Also, go to the your county GOP or local GOP office, Republican Party, and say, hey, I want to make sure we defeat Hillary. You don't have to tell them your affiliations right off the bat, other than you're all about seeing Barack Obama go farewell and to make sure that we don't get Hillary come in Barack Obama's place. And they'll be glad to get you working on the telephones, volunteering, give you lists of primary voters in your precinct. I'm telling you, it wouldn't be that big a deal to go knock on a few doors right there in your own neighborhood. And like David says, politics start at the local level. Right. That's the most basic grassroots level is finding. I mean, think about it. You need to know your neighbors anyway. I mean, you never know when all this stuff's going to hit the fan, right? So if you at least found some fellow info warriors out there, some fellow patriots that actually live near you, the benefit there could be, you know, you almost can't put a price on the benefit that they may be for you if things really go road warrior or something like that.
We got people leaving right now. Let's see what some of them have to say about the debate. Let's get some comments. You got people coming up the stairs right behind you.
Somebody. All right. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think what Richard was saying, you know, in terms of we've always heard the progressives say, think globally, act locally. In other words, you got a globalist outlook, a globalist agenda. Let's act locally to make that happen. We need to understand globally and act locally to stop that same agenda. And I think that that's really the only place that you can be effective is at the local level. Do it at grassroots. Let's go back to Richard Reeves.
Got Randy.
Go ahead, Richard.
Carolina.
All right, folks, we've got Randy here, a guest at the debate right now. Randy, where are you from, you said?
I'm Forest City, North Carolina.
So tell us, what'd you think about the debate, how'd it go, and who won?
I thought it went fairly good. I still think it's probably Trump, Cruz, Rubio probably come in third.
So you're looking at kind of going with the anti-establishment candidates. Is that what you're kind of favoring?
Oh, yeah.
So how past due is it that we get these establishment guys out? How past due is that?
It's long past due.
So hey, can we get Randy else to say Infowars.com, there's a war on for your mind.
Okay. Randy, can you tell us, Infowars.com, there's a war on for your mind.
Infowars.com, there's a war on for your mind.
All right. Good. Thank you, Randy. All right. Appreciate it very much.
That was awesome.
Do you want to comment on the debate? Did you go to the debate?
No, I didn't see it, but I wish I had it somewhere.
Okay.
I was looking for Mr. Ted Bush.
Oh, you're looking for Jeb? He said he's looking for Jeb Bush.
Put the mic in his mouth. Give him the mic.
If you found Jeb Bush, what would you tell him?
I said, Jeb, you promised that if you became governor of Florida, I would come and do all the shoe shine and shoe repair. Now, since you're going to become the president, I'll have to come to Washington.
Oh, so you're looking for some work as far as shoe shining goes, huh?
Absolutely. I'm a double soul man.
Well, I tell you what, I bet you Donald Trump tips better. Don't you think Donald Trump might tip better, the shoe shine guy?
He probably would. I'll accept that, too.
Better shoes, too.
All right.
All right, good deal.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Well, folks, let's see if we can round up a couple. Anybody else want to comment on the debate?
That's the Jeb Bush economy there for you. Shine my shoes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll let you shine my shoes if you get me elected.
Well, you know
and he didn't uphold that promise, I guess.
Yeah.
At least he's got more aspiration than somebody buying a doggone Powerball ticket.
That's right. That's right. He's got the right idea. Get a job. That's right.
I'll tell you what. One thing I couldn't believe is people showed up at that Chino 7-Eleven out in California as if they'd won something. What's up with that? What kind of Loserville was that?
I don't understand the gambling mindset.
We didn't win. We didn't win.
Yeah, it's just being close to greatness, you know? And maybe some of those $1 billion will rub off on them somehow. I don't know.
Exactly. That $1 billion Slurpee sauce and rub it on them.
Yeah.
I thought that was a crazy scene.
Yeah.
You want us to try to track down some more attendees? See if we can get some more comments?
Yeah, I mean, if it's easy, but if not, I mean, okay. We could probably.
I think, yeah, if
we're saying we're not riding the flow. Folks, y'all want to comment on the debate? Okay, looks like, yeah, come on over. Tell us what you think about the debate. Okay, what's your name?
Nathaniel White.
Nathaniel? All right, we got Nathaniel White. And tell us what you thought about the debate.
Absolutely. I was pretty disappointed that Rand Paul didn't participate in the debate. Outside of that, leaving no substance, I guess Cruz did pretty well for himself. I want to say Donald Trump probably made an ass of himself like he always does. And really, I think without Rand Paul on that stage, I think the American people is the one that lost on that debate. I can't quite say who's the winner.
Well, you know, I like Rand Paul personally myself, and I was just wondering, I really wanted to be more hardcore in the earlier debates, and so I thought, you know, hey, at least come back and do the early debate and really come down and slam down harder on some issues. Would you have liked to have seen that?
Absolutely. You know, most people think, you know, that what's happening in the Middle East is the biggest problem that America has. Many people haven't discovered that the Federal Reserve and our monetary policy is the biggest threat that the American people have. So, with that said, I feel like we should be crunching down on some of these fiscal policy and tax issues to really give opportunity to the American people, not making the sand glow out in our Iraq and Afghanistan.
Hey, Richard.
Now, I'll tell you, the secret that the viewers really want to know is how in the world, as a Rand Paul supporter, did you get an invite?
Well, Rand Paul works his magic.
Hey, right. Richard, ask him if he knows that Rand Paul was trending number one on Twitter, even ahead of Donald Trump during the debate because he was live on Periscope.
Nathaniel, did you know that during the debate, the number one trender on Twitter was actually Rand Paul during the debate?
The number one political trending tweet thing on Twitter was Rand Rally. Yes, Rand Paul was trending better than everything else in the debate, and there's a reason why. Rand Paul has the grassroots network throughout this country, not just in Iowa, not just in Alabama where I'm from, but across this country to really take this election by storm. And we're going to see in a few days in Iowa and a few days in New Hampshire what we mean by that.
All right, Nathaniel, did you have anything else to add to wrap up?
I like your program.
Oh, all right. An Info Warrior. All right, see, that's somebody that shows up right there. Somebody that shows up. Next thing you know, he's in the debate. So, folks, I'll tell you what, you know, we make a lot of fun of the debate, the GOP candidates, et cetera, and the Paul Ryans and the John Boehners in the world. But you know who we really have to blame for the situation we're in is because good men and women have done nothing. Good men and women have let evil come upon our nation. So it is time. We have got the numbers, folks. That's what frustrates me so badly. I know it frustrates Alex. Because we have the numbers to restore our Constitution, folks. If we do lose this country, if it does go down the tubes, each of us just need to look in the mirror because we didn't do enough.
I agree. Thank you, Richard.
I agree.
Let's go to...
I just want to say this. Mm-hmm. I really think Rand Paul was the winner of the debate. Yeah. He got the most coverage.
Yes.
More people talking about him by not being in. He really stood out. So I think he was definitely in a debate that... was one of the most boring we've seen so far.
And he got to answer substantive questions instead of the boilerplate repetitions that we hear from Fox News.
And I got to say, I feel like he must have just ripped the shackles off of whoever has been advising him. Obviously, he came on the show. He flipped the bird to the media today. I mean, he's coming out of his shell a little bit. So something's going on.
That's good. Yeah. I think it'll be very encouraging for him to get out of the constraints of what you should do and just do what he needs to do.
Right.
Let's close up here, I guess, with comments from everybody as to what they thought about the debate. Let's go to Darren. Would you like to have a comment about closing comment about the debate tonight? Who did you think did well and or what stood out to you?
Well, I think that the guy that Richard was talking to said it all when he said, you know, who lost the debate, and that was the American people by not having Rand Paul on the stage. But then again, through social media, you know, he did pretty well.
That's right.
Look, I was just going to tell people out there to just don't be afraid to speak your mind, because the days of tiptoeing around issues because you're afraid, you're trying to be politically correct, or you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, those days are over. You know, it's time we start stepping on toes, and we really need to get together, unite, and together we can take our country back.
I agree. We need to decide, I think, what our priority is. And I know my priority is liberty. That's what this country was founded upon. It was founded upon the idea that that's what government's purpose was to protect our liberty, not to make us safe. If we're free, we can make ourselves safe. If we're not free, we'll never be safe. Leanne, what's your...
Well, I think, you know, just this, the debate and how it was all handled and how Rand Paul got shut out and how they manipulated the polls and all of that. I feel like people are really beginning to see behind the curtain, and they see that the candidates they have up there are giving those same canned answers, and they're not bringing anything new to the stage. Now they're all saying, well, let's not beat up each other because, you know, if we show everyone's bad stripes here, then we're not going to have anyone to go up against Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
You know, the media is going to attack us enough. Because really, they're none of them, I think. I will not vote for the lesser of two evils. Mm. I refuse to do that. I'll be another write-in if my candidate isn't the choice. I will not vote for the lesser of two evils. And unfortunately, you know, I have to agree with that gentleman that Richard was speaking with, is that, you know, America is the one that's going to lose if this is the kind of debate, if we settle for allowing these people to just continue representing us.
I agree. Jakari?
That's excellent. Dovetail what everybody else is saying. Yes, so I guess people did lose out in a way by not having Rand there, but I think we also won in a way by showing people a new way to go about
right.
it, where you don't have to be restricted to Fox or CNN mm-hmm. or MSNBC. You can go on your own platform, whether it be your personal website, whether it be the internet ghettos, whatever, but you can go make a big way. You can flip the birds in the media, still be the number one trending guy on Twitter. It's a real shakeup to the system. I'm pretty sure the system doesn't like it, especially Fox News.
Yep.
With this most recent debate, how a guy can go on Periscope and dwarf their coverage as far as how well he was received.
Right.
Now, he had exclusive content. You know, he had everybody asking him the questions. He had a chance to give real uncensored answers. And I think while we did lose by not having better representation on the stage, we did win by showing people a different way to go about it.
Right.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Richard Reeves in South Carolina, your comments on the debate.
Yes, I want to elaborate some more on Rand Paul. I tell you, one of my frustrations was with Rand Paul, as much as I liked him, is that he just wouldn't come out and be hardcore enough in those earlier debates. I think, you know, Rand Paul should have just left strategy at home and said, hey, man, he should have done an Alex Jones. I mean, he should have just come out like Alex Jones, been hardcore on stuff during those debates. I think it would have driven Donald Trump even to be more truthful. So, and I think the Rand Paul criticism of Donald Trump hurt Rand Paul. He should have made an alliance, kind of like in that game Survivor, made an alliance with Donald Trump, understanding that potentially Trump is an ally, not a foe, not an enemy. And I think that they could have moved the ball a lot more forward if they'd have taken that tack. So that was a disappointment. I mean, that's like I was at the Texas State Convention in 2012, and in the midst of that convention, Rand Paul comes out and endorses Mitt Romney. In the meantime, his dad, Ron Paul, is still running for president. We had not even voted yet. So some of the things that he did were really frustrating. But, you know, maybe now he'll get more hardcore because he's still got some cachet. I think potentially he's got a chance of ending up top three in Iowa, because in Iowa, it's about the ground game. The caucus system benefits people that have the ground game. We know in Iowa in 2008, 2012, that Ron Paul had ground game. So Rand Paul hopefully has leveraged that. We're going to find out here shortly in a couple of weeks.
You know, Richard, when you're talking about him endorsing Mitt Romney while his dad was still in there, I think the Achilles heel of Rand Paul has been his devotion to party. When I look at the very first debate, the thing that he got so incensed about with Donald Trump at the beginning was the idea that Donald Trump might run as an independent. I mean, he was truly angry about that.
Yeah.
And so perhaps the thing that may take Rand Paul out of his shell, may make him more authentic, is this shunning by the GOP establishment this early in the game. Because clearly, he said that. He said, this is coming from the GOP establishment. Of course, the means of that was to use Fox and Bloomberg to embargo that poll so they could play with the numbers. He sees what's going on, so maybe he will lose this devotion to partisan politics, to the GOP, and just go for principle. That's my hope,
right.
That he'll get tough and pull this out.
He needs to go totally hardcore. I was very frustrated because it was like
He had 1 foot in the Patriot Party, 1 foot in the establishment party. And like I told Alex, I says, he might as well stand in the left lane of an interstate where it's 80 miles an hour out in West Texas.
That's right.
Because that's exactly what happened to him. He flat got run over. But now, hey, thankfully, because of this, maybe he will really step up his game. I'm looking forward to it.
That's right. Well, thank you, Richard. Appreciate that. We'll be looking for more reports from you in Iowa and New Hampshire, I guess, because that's coming up pretty soon. We're going to have the Iowa caucus February the 1st. There's going to be another GOP debate. That will be on a weekend. We will not be covering that. And we will not be covering the Democrat debate that's going to be taking place during the football playoffs. So that Hillary put it on there. I got to say, as my closing comments here, that I didn't see any highlights of the debate, quite frankly. In the past, we've had some very good points that were made typically by Rand Paul, pointing out that if you create a no-fly zone, you're going to be going head-to-head with the Russians. You're going to be shooting down a Russian plane. You're going to be starting World War III. Things like that that we saw in previous debates. And I'm sure that's why Rand Paul was not included tonight. So I didn't see any highlights or things that I thought were really good out of this debate. I thought Donald Trump came away looking very weak after opening up, I think, a real important objection to Ted Cruz in terms of the natural-born citizenship. And he did not look at Lawrence Tribe's point that Ted Cruz is trying to have it both ways, to say he supports constitutional originalists, will appoint them to the Supreme Court, and yet he wants to jettison this. They allowed, and especially Trump, allowed the master debater, Ted Cruz, to completely avoid the topic, to talk about it in a way that he wanted to, and to lie about the fact that Donald Trump doesn't have natural-born citizenship requirements. Let's understand, Donald Trump's mother had been an American citizen 4 years before he was born, which puts him in a completely different category than the other anchor babies that are there, and puts him in a completely different category than Ted Cruz, who was not born in America, whose father was not an American citizen, and whose mother, perhaps, had given up her American citizenship by becoming a Canadian citizen. She was on the voter rolls in Canada. So that clearly is a big difference between Donald Trump. His grandfather had come in the 1880s. That was an outright lie. So I think we saw Ted Cruz at his most evasive, at his most dishonest. I personally feel like Camille Paglia had it right on the nose when she said he has the eyes of a shark. I never have trusted Ted Cruz. I always believed that he was playing the Patriot movement, the Liberty movement, never more so than when I see what is happening now with him turning against Snowden, not showing up to vote for audit the Fed, and then the kind of lies that we saw tonight in this debate about natural-born citizenship. Well, that's it for our live coverage. Thanks for joining us here at Infowars.com. And we'll be back tomorrow at 11 Central and 12 o'clock Eastern with the Alex Jones Radio Show. Join us then.
Knockout is back. If you want a product that has 10 known ingredients that naturally get your body to relax, your brain to relax, so you get deep, restful sleep, Knockout's it. InfoWarsLife.com. L-theanine, hops flower extract, lemon balm extract, valerian root extract, chamomile flower extract, L-tryptophan extract, melatonin, and more. All organic, all the natural sources. It's the same price as leading brands of melatonin that are 3 milligrams apiece. It has 3 milligram, the standard recommended dose for an adult. It's got the GABA. So it would probably cost $50 to take all this as separate pills. It's $19.95. You take one or two of these, and it just is really clean, restful sleep is what the reviews are. It's what I've experienced. And it just synergistically puts everything in there. InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.
Big sat down and talked with him about his plan for illegal immigration. So check that out. It just went up on Infowars.com. We're going to have Joe Biggs and Richard Reeves both there
covering what's going on at the RNC, also covering on what's going on with this meeting, how basically they just failed to vote on impeaching Obama. But we do have citizens out there. Here's a article from the Star Tribune. Congress should impeach Obama. And this was an op-ed, but, and I'm going to give a shout out to Joe Spence. That was Joe Spence who wrote that to his local paper. Just to put the idea out there, we have to keep putting that idea out there that we can't let criminals walk free, that we can't let them run our society. You know, there's over 48 criminal accounts in that argument from the North American Law Center. So check it out. Infowars.com is the fourth hour.
My name is Don Wiskin. In 1994, I lost my 62-year-old father to complications of bypass surgery. In 1977, my 44-year-old brother was found dead in his apartment. He suffered a heart attack. In January of 98, my mother had a stroke and passed away in her bed. 21 days later, my 53-year-old brother passed away on his arrival to the hospital. He waited too long. In June that same year, I almost joined them at 42. What did I do? I took a 7-herb formula I now call Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, hawthorn, milk thistle, and valerian. Based on German studies of natural medicine, Extendivite is designed to clear blocked arteries, clean the toxins from your blood, and improve your immune system. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website, heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Shower filters. We're introducing the best yet. The brand new ProPure ProMax high performance shower filter. It removes and reduces over 200 contaminants while preserving a strong, powerful flow. This new 4-stage filtration process helps protect the largest organ in your body, your skin, from the unhealthy contaminants in the water. You can find more details on this amazing new filter and free shipping at InfoWarsStore.com or call 888-253-3139 to order your ProMax shower filter from ProPure today.
Rainier Distillers designs and builds custom copper stills for home purification of water, distilling alcohol, essential oils, cannabis oil, and ethanol fuel. Use these distillers at home to remove all those nasty chemicals that are added to your public drinking water by fluoridation, resulting in pure, safe drinking water for you and your family. Call RainierDistillers.com at 360-446-8998 and check out their website at RainierDistillers.com, located in Seattle, Washington.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowicz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to IDStronghold.com and get the facts and the wallets, sleeves, or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit IDStronghold.com today.
Yeah, I know I'm live. All right, only 24 hours left to the 30-40% off of the InfoWars Select Storable Food. I'm Rob Dew, your host. This is our last segment of the fourth hour. It's got Leanne McAdoo going to give us a preview of what's coming up tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, where we're going to do some news and then roll right into that debate and that mystery or political science theater 3K. Political science theater 3K. Also, Super Female Vitality is back in stock. And so get a new shipment of Super Female. Here we go. A new shipment of Super Female Vitality has just arrived at our warehouse and is now available at InfoWarsLife.com. Or you could call 888-253-3139. It's got a 94% positive review rating, or people that would recommend it to a friend. So the time now, start 2016 off right. Get your Super Female Vitality. And also we have the new ProPure shower filter has arrived. It's the ProMax 4. It's a 4-stage filter by ProPure. Exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com. So
two of those thumbs up on the super female come from Ms. McAdoo herself.
Oh, yeah? You're a big taker of the female vitality?
I love it. I'm on my last little bit of this bottle, so I'm glad we're back in stock.
Very good. Now, tonight you're going to premiere a report that you've been working on. You did an interview yesterday with a young student who stood up, said no. His mom obviously was also outraged at the questions they were asking him just
Very
to
upset.
Get financial aid, right? Is that what this is for?
Well, no. This is to attend school.
Just to attend
this
school.
This is to register for these courses. So everyone has heard about these mandatory online courses where they're asking students these really pervasive, perverse questions. You know, how many times have you had sex in the last 3 months? Just things that they just get in really detailed.
It's like something you do when you sign up for Tinder.
Right. Exactly. And so he refused to do it. He thought it was a little odd that they were offering $5 gift cards for a mandatory course. So he was right then. Those were the flags going off for him. But his mom did a lot of research. And it turns out that they are basically overstepping the law. There's a federal mandate that these colleges have to educate students on their health, on alcohol consumption, on sexual assault. But the way that they're writing the software is that they're collecting and scooping up all of this personal data in order to do that.
Instead of putting out data, they're